Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast Network.
Bitch.
Print it.
Welcome to episode 87 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassina, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levitsy, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. We're back with an in-depth look at independent comics. Why do we buy? Why don't we buy? And when will we buy? Sean Pryor of PKD Media is along with Green Cat and the Torque Song, and Brent and myself to discuss the topic. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levitstein, and welcome to episode 87 of Comic Timing. And we are back in the land of Skype, but things sound so much clearer. In fact, it might even sound like to you people that Brent might be in this room, but he is not. But he is still the co-host, not co-host, co-host, with the air conditioner on, Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent?
Chilling like a villain.
Apparently you are, man. Jeez. And you sound so rosy, I must say.
I'm getting over a cold.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Can't tell. We are also joined this episode by a returning guest, and I need to introduce him first because it has been so freaking long that I'm sure many of you people were not even listening to the show yet when he was on. Mr. Al Sparrow, he's known as Torch
hey.
Song on the forums. Hey, Al.
Hey, I got a belly full of Chick-fil-A. I'm suited up and ready to play.
I wish I had Chick-fil-A in these neck of the woods, man.
So are we all ramming now?
Yeah, it's your damn fault.
We're all rhyming.
Like hyming?
We're all rhyming on Comic Timing.
Oh, no. Okay, I apologize for starting that even going. So,
welcome.
Good night, folks. See you later.
Well, this will be the last time he's on the show. All right.
Last time on the show, yeah.
Right. Well, a man who is definitely not Etrigan the Demon, he is green capped on the forums. Welcome to Comic Timing, Eric Peterson.
Thank you for having me, and I hope I've passed the audition. But I do promise not to rhyme, at least this time.
Oh, damn it! Son of a bitch! All right. Episode's canceled. It's done. It's over. That's it. Period. All right? The black guy, Sean Pryor. Hi, Sean.
Comics. Exciting and new. All aboard. We've been expecting you.
Wait. I thought Brandon was the only black guy ever on to be on the show again.
I don't know. The way it works is that when Brandon's on, I can't be on. And when I'm on, he can't be on. And if we're on at the same time, we can only be on within like half hour increments. That's
what I mean.
It works.
You guys don't even like even sound black. We need like a real black guy to be on, like a real black guy that's actually like into rap music and like, you know, ethnic things.
You know. thank you very much for proving the type of person that you are, Mr. Brent Cassina.
That wasn't stereotypical at all.
No, hi, and welcome to AOL Negrophone. If you want to watch Soul Plane, press 1 now.
If you'd like to watch... No.
Yes, that, but deeper.
No,
how about this?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
lower, deeper.
Yo, my little butterfly.
Lower! You're my little butterfly! All right. And this episode of Comic Timing is brought to you by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. And this month we got an interesting special coming out, as it's not a comic book you're getting for free, you are getting previews for free. That's right, the free copy of the May previews will be included. That includes the regular previews and the Marvel previews, which will come out on April 29th, 2009. And you will be getting both of these for free if you spend more than $25 at Heroes Corner this month. It's a nice free deal there, and you get to actually physically look at your comics as you choose them, as opposed to waiting for previews to come out online, and I think that's an added bonus. It's a little more tactile. Get what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I thought. So that is the freebie this month, and as well as that, don't forget that if you are a member of Heroes Corner, if you are a regular member of Heroes Corner, well, you are going to get an extra added bonus treat, which has been added to the whole thing, and that is special discounts that are delivered to your email box. So make sure to be a regular customer with Heroes Corner, and you will receive a special
special newsletter every single month with special offers that are only available for a limited time. So make sure to check out for that. And this month, well, hey, they already got sent out. So trust me, they do happen. And don't forget the trade special, which of course is buy three trades and you will get an additional 5% off the complete order of that trade. So for example, buy three trades and you get an extra 5% off. Life is simple. And don't forget that our comp timing picks of the month are as follows. It is Runaways number 11. The brand new team on Runaways begins here. The brand new creative team, that is. And there's an imminent involved, and there's the artist of NYX. It will be fun for the whole family. And this is going to be 50% off on this issue, which is only $1.50, regular price of $2.99. And the other picks are as follows. We got Hellblazer number 256, a Vertigo comic, an actual DC Vertigo comic for once, our DC pick. How about that? 75 cents, 75% off of the usual $2.99. This is written by Peter Milligan with art by Giuseppe Camicolo, and Stefano Nandini does the art as well, cover by Simon Beasley. And this is the first Hellblazer comic that either Brent or myself has ever read. So this should be interesting. Number 256 of Hellblazer, 75% off. And Land of the Lost, number 1, is our indie pick. 50% off on Heroes Corner. Regular price of $3.95, only $1.98. The movie's coming up, and they're doing a comic book for it. And it's done by Sean O'Reilly with art by Tony Lee. Could be a lot of fun. Could be a little cheesy. Let's find out together, shall we? 50% off on Heroes Corner. That's out of Arcana Studios. And don't forget the comic timing code of the month is CT Rocks, that's CTROCKS, and you will get an additional 5% off on your order, your first order, with Heroes Corner. So first-time users get an additional 5% off with CT Rocks, CTROCKS. Best damn customer service around, as usual, HeroesCorner.com.
And so in this episode, if we ever actually get going here, we're going to be talking about the current state of independent comics, and it's a good thing to do when we got two people on the call who actually have independent books out there in the landscape right now. So let's go into the forum topic, and I will read off the questions. With the major changes in distribution models over the past few months, the state of independent comic books is currently in flux, or is it? Right, come on, give me a bum, bum, bum in the background. Somebody, come on.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you.
Dramatic reverb.
How difficult is it for you to get into an independent book? How regular does one need to come out to make you a return customer? Do you prefer indie trades or indie singles? With the recent surge in distributors such as Haven and the upcoming introduction of Comics Monkey, best name ever, is... Thank you. Is putting your independent book on Diamond seems to be a thing of the past. Are there certain publishers you'll choose over others in the catalog when choosing a new book to read? What is your spending limit on an indie title? Would you pay more for color over black and white? And again, that is not anything towards Sean, I promise. If you buy your books at a local comic shop, let us know how broad a range of indies you find at the shop and how willing the shop owner is to try new things. And finally, would you cut a DC or Marvel title to support an independent creator? And we will begin this with the, I guess, yeah, why not? We'll start with the first question because that's a good place to go. And we will begin with Al. And how
I should go look up what I wrote on the forum so that I'm not, contradicting myself.
Yeah, actually.
I think I wrote it in another thread, though. I didn't write it in the Comics Timing thread, so.
Yeah, I saw that. It's in the CGS thread. I have that pulled up here also. So I've got your answers right here. So if you say anything contradictory to it, I'm going to call you out on it. I just want you to know that.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
So we'll start off with the first question that you asked in your thread. How difficult is it for you to get into an independent book?
It's not hard at all. Really, it isn't. I mean, the main problem that you have is finding the damn things because, you're pretty much stuck with whatever your LCS decides to put out there unless you're a DCBS customer or if you're buying it directly from the artist. And the market's slowly getting there, but for right now, the main thing is really finding them. The first one I ever read was back in the 1980s when I was in the hospital. My dad brought me a copy of this book called Zot, and I was like, what the hell is this? This doesn't even look like anything that I read, like where's Spider-Man, where's Superman, where's all the stuff that I normally read. Mm-hmm. And I read Zot and I was just blown away and I was like, okay, there's more out there than what I'm getting. So to me, it's not a question of how difficult is it to get into an independent book. The stories in them are just as good as anything you're going to get from a mainstream company, it's finding them.
Right. And at this particular moment, at this particular time when we're recording this episode, it is still pretty difficult to find them. You have to know exactly where to go to actually find a listing of independent comics, or you have to go to the back of that damn catalog and look through, you know, 20 to 40 to 50 to 100 different publishers and say, hey, it's Zort. I've never heard of Zort. Let me look at it.
Right. And I mean, way back in the early days of the Comic Geek Speak forum, we did a thing called the Indie Challenge where you were challenged once a month to go out and buy an independent book and come back and talk about it, you mm-hmm. know, and that was actually kind of fun for a while there because everybody was picking out a different book. And the problem with that is, you know, somebody in Nebraska is finding a book that I can't get in Arizona, and I'm finding a book in Arizona you can't get in New York. And so, you know, even the market is difficult to get a hold of these things sometimes.
Yeah, but remember, no one can find anything from Canada because Canada doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I make one Canadian joke and already everybody's cracking up. I mean, geez. Let's just go back to the black jokes. Fine. All right?
Hey, watch yourself.
I didn't hear any people laughing at the Canadian joke.
I heard Snickers. I totally heard Snickers. Fine. Brent, since you're sort of new to the whole indie scene and really didn't start picking them up until, I don't know, we started reviewing them, how difficult...
So you twisted my arm and forced me?
Yes. Yes, and my favorite part is when I made you read a manga. But anyway.
Never again.
You and Al will fight it out after the episode is over, I guess. How difficult is it for you to get into an independent book?
Typically difficult. Sometimes there's a large barrier, like Doctor Who, The Forgotten, for instance, mm-hmm. as the barrier was me not knowing what the fuck it was.
Okay, but let's focus more on the titles that don't really have a Bang Tango or something like that. One that doesn't have the backing of like a long television history or something like that.
Okay, not hard.
But you have the same problem that Torch Song has, actually finding it, right?
No, because I ordered them from HeroesCorner.com.
Yeah, Heroes Corner. Ooh, sucker. Oh, yeah.
Watch your fucking comics.
But, okay. Then I will rephrase it yet again to actually get a longer answer out of you. What's your ratio right now between independent and Marvel books? Okay, I mean, and DC books. Like, I mean, are you into a lot of indies right now, or is it still sort of a new thing to you?
It's 1 to 35 each and every month.
Okay.
Can you guess what that one is?
The one that we pick up for the review.
Well, I'm picking up Fables trades and all. I have all the Y trades. So I guess you could count those if you really wanted to.
Then what's it going to take to get into more indies?
I don't know. More money?
Okay. Eric, give him more money.
Okay, I'll be right over there. Take me about 45 minutes, I get there.
Exactly the way I said you, because I know that you live in Florida. All right, well...
Call me out, bastard.
No. Damn right. Okay, well, fine. How difficult is it for you to get into an independent book, Eric?
I find it extremely easy. Just like Mr. Torch Song, I picked up my first indie because, you know, I'm an old fart, so I picked it up in the 80s. I think my first indie was The Elementals by Bill Willingham, shortly followed by the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I picked up by the second issue. So I was essentially hooked early. So, I find it very easy to be interested in the indies. But like everyone else's experiences, it is just finding them in the stores. I'm almost exclusively doing mail order now. I mean, the small local comic shop that we have here in St. Augustine, where I am, the proprietor is an extremely nice woman, but it's such a small store, and she doesn't know comics much deeper than like the first half of previews. So she basically orders, you know, from the big two, and that's about it. So you couldn't really walk in and say, hey, I never heard of that title before. Sweet. And so
yeah. Is it just because it's easier to sell those books for her?
Right. It's more guaranteed sales. It's essentially ordering to, you know, to the customer base directly. And right. Apparently a lot of the customer base doesn't like to dip into the indie world.
Well, why do you think that is?
I mean, I know from talking to some people that, of course, a lot of independent, at least the smaller publishers, do publish in black and white for a variety of reasons, and some people do find that an insurmountable barrier. I've never seen it myself. I just, you know, good art, good story is good story, no matter what. But I don't know. I think it's probably more people like to get sucked into the overall soap opera of either the Marvel or the DC universe or both. And once you get attracted to something, sometimes it's just, I don't know, it's hard to get the nerves up to actually break that mold. And when your budget's limited and, you know, it's a difference between going, well, I got to get that 10th issue of Spider-Man that came out this month versus, you know, oh, here's a new title, but I don't know if I might like it. You know, unless you have a good community like a lot of us do online now to actually help broaden the horizons, you know, you're pretty much left with what you know. And if you're not willing to take the money or take the chance, you're kind of out of it.
I hear you. And let's talk to the guy who, I guess, basically his book is his book, mainly because people in said community pick it up and knew what it was and all that. Mr. Pryor, how difficult is it for you to get into an indie?
Oh, it's not hard at all. As a kid, I was lucky enough to, you know, my parents found comic book stores that sold more than the big two. They sold stuff like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all the variations of the turtles, like the radioactive mutant ninja hamsters and all that other stuff. You know, it was always out there, and it was always, you know, somewhat easy to find. And even now, here living in Lexington, I do more mail order because it saves me money. But we still have a nice selection of comic book stores. You know, we have one store that's strictly big two, but then we have two other stores which are a nice range of indies as well as stuff from the big two as well. So I have a lot of choice. I'm in good shape. I'm good. But, you know, I don't have any issues with reading a black and white comic book. I never did. You know, when we read, you know, comics in the newspaper, they were black and white, you know, 6 out of 7 days a week. So, you know, to me, what was the big difference? You know, who cares? Mm-hmm. But yeah, there is still that stigma that black and white books equal jukiness. And I don't know whether that's due to the, to the major independent boom in the 80s and early 90s. There were a lot of, you know, black and white comic books in the 80s and 90s, and a lot of them stunk. You know, let's keep it real. The artwork was terrible and the stories were terrible, but there were a lot of great ones too. Mm-hmm. But, but for some reasons that stuff leaves a sour taste in people's mouths, and I don't know why. But no, I don't have any problems getting into indies at all. As a matter of fact, I find myself now ordering more indies every month than I do stuff from Marvel and DC. And as far as stuff from Marvel and DC goes, seeing that they write for the trade, because there are only a couple of books that they put out that they don't write for the trade, like a book like Jonah Hex. Jonah Hex is not written for the trade. One and done stories, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I wish they'd have more books like that. But seeing how everything else with them is written for the trade, I just go ahead and get the trade. And if they never put out a trade, then I just go to the cheapy bins. Mm-hmm. But, and so I think some people might be turned off from, you know, independent publisher's price. But, you know, for some of us, we can't go and deal with Labanafon and Transcontinental and stuff like that and print off 1,000 copies or 2,000 copies of a book because we can't guarantee 1,000 sales right off the bat.
Sure,
We can't. That's a lot of money to invest. And you've already invested money in the production of your book alone. And so our books, you know, normally can be a little bit more expensive. Sometimes we can make some price breaks, you know, just to entice people to read it. But that can be difficult. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, going with what Eric said about how, and again, you mentioned that you've got choice. You know, you're lucky enough to be in an area which actually has multiple comic shops in a close range. Mm-hmm. But what Eric brings up is pretty true, that a lot of parts of the country only have that one comic shop, and they'll probably only get Marvel and DC because that's guaranteed sales. You know, people will come in to pick that up right away. If people see a random indie, you know, lying on the shelf that they've never heard of before, sure, some people like yourself, like me these days, as opposed to a few years ago, and like Eric, like Al, might go up to it. But again, the more people will choose a Marvel or a DC book over an indie, and that's why they go that way. How do you break that stigma that an indie book is an indie book and it won't sell?
Whew, that's a big question. You know what? I always say, you know, just give them interesting characters, interesting stories, nice artwork, and hopefully, you know, the book can sell itself. But it also takes, it takes, you know, people like me, like Al, like Eric, we just got to get out there and push our wares. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, Al, I'm doing like a talk show promotional wagon tour right now, trying to promote PKD Media Presents Number One. You literally have to do everything possible in, you know, to get your book out there and to make people believe, hey, our stuff can be just as good, if not better, than everything else that's out there. And then not only that, say, for instance, depending if your book is kid-friendly and adult-friendly, mm-hmm. then you have something to go with there because, you know, some people may feel that a lot of the Marvel books and a lot of the DC books aren't that kid-friendly. Yeah, you got Marvel Adventures and you got Johnny DC, but still, that's another story. So, you know, you can push that avenue. There are many venues available to push your books, but it's up to people to listen. And you can only do so much. And you can also put your books out on the web in sections for free on the internet. And, you know, then they can, like, look at them on a daily, weekly, biweekly basis and maybe entice people to look at it that way and then put up a collection for sale, you know, via the internet mm-hmm. and build up some pre-orders that way. You know, so there are ways to get it done, but the challenge is getting people to taste your Kool-Aid. And, and if you don't have enough sugar in it, they probably will spit it out and walk away.
Because then it's just water with food coloring in it.
Exactly.
My partner in crime, Flint Lockjaw, if he were here, would probably say, just put some boobs on the cover.
Boobs. You said boobs.
That's actually going to be issue 3 of Thugs, so when we get to it.
Sweet.
Going along the lines of the question that I asked Sean now, how do you get over that stigma?
I can only speak for what Steve, which is Flint's real name. Sorry, surprised if they didn't know. But when we got together to do this, we pretty much hammered it out. It's like, we're not going to make, you know, we might make a small name for ourselves doing this, but we're not going to get rich doing this. If we're not doing this for the fun of doing it, if we're not doing it for the simple joy of doing it, then let's not do it. So we had to get over that hurdle ourselves before we ever worried about how we were going to present it out to people. And once we got over that, we actually I asked quite a few people. I asked Lynn Workman, who does Bushy Tales, because when I saw how he and Dave Beatty work, they have a good model of what I thought we would want to model ourselves after. And, he gave me a lot of really good advice, and I took it back to Steve, and we just hammered it out. And it's like, well, we don't really want to print like 1,000 copies. Like Sean's saying, you know, it's an investment. It's a huge investment. And the reason we did that is we knew that door-to-door sales is not how we're really going to be able to push this thing. It's going to be online. And if you want, I'll hold off answering the rest of this question because you got another question down the road that probably is a better answer, better time for me to talk about this.
Okay.
But it's up to you. I can blather on all you want, but
Well, you know what? This might be a good time to transition to ask something along the lines to Brent, because, again, he is the beginner guy, and that's why I'm probably going to be asking him a lot of these questions, too.
So you don't want me to fall asleep in this episode like the anime episode last time Al was on?
Yeah, that might be one of the reasons, but that, damn. Too, I want to get behind. I want to understand what makes you choose Marvel and DC over indies.
Because I'm familiar with them?
Yeah, but so what? Just because they're in your comfort zone, you're not willing to go out of that comfort zone? I mean, what's...
Yeah, and, well, the $2.99 price did help as well, but, I mean, I think the one of the main reasons for me, though, like, ordering online the way that I do, is a lot easier for me to go on, like, the Marvel or the DC page and just look at all the comics that are there, whereas, you know, just the way that Heroes Corner or... DCBS has it set up, but I don't use them anymore. Just the way it has it set up on the web page, they have each company listed differently. So if Sean's company is on there and I want to see what his company is offering that month, you know, Sean is a small company. He may only have one book a month, and then, you know, they got a page for one book, or it's just a lot more time consuming, and there's so much stuff out there that it's hard to get a grasp on it. Whereas Marvel and DC, there's 100 books on one page, can scroll through them and skip the ones that have to do with X-Men or Miss Marvel or whatever, you know, and get most of the DC shit. So,
all right. I hear you.
Well, you also got to look at it like this, though, too. We've all been, you know, inundated since children, you know, with Marvel and DC properties. One, they were basically also used as a gateway drug for comics, cartoons.
you know, growing up we had Super Friends. Growing up we had G.I. Joe. Growing up we've had, you know, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, all that stuff.
Crappy season of Ultra Force and Wildcats. Let's not forget about those.
You know what? That's a guilty pleasure for many, including yours truly. So it's cool. I understand.
Hey, but those were bad.
They were bad.
And don't forget the on-air Gen 13 with Flea from Chili Peppers in it.
Oh, and don't forget the unaired Youngblood pilot that never finished.
Wait, serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, they were working on it, but anything associated with Liefeld never gets completed, so there you go.
Did they have a Savage Dragon cartoon for a while?
Yes,
that was actually very entertaining, I have to admit. That was good.
Yeah, I watched that a couple times, I think.
So that
the Max was great.
I'm sorry, yeah. you got talked over there. What were you saying?
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just saying the Max, that was a great show. Not really aimed towards kids, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. And the Spawn for a while.
The Max cartoon got me to read the book. I was not collecting the Max comic book until I saw that cartoon, and I was like, holy crap, I'm missing something.
There you go.
Hey. The Spawn HBO series did that for me when I bought it on DVD a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. I like the animated Spawn better than the comic.
A lot of people do.
And then there you go. See, you've got that gateway drug or that opening to get you to find a comic, or at least, you know, if you're out and about, you know, when comics were literally in so many other places other than comic book stores, you could be walking around and say, oh, hey, Spider-Man. Oh, hey, I just watched that the other day. Let me get that book. Boom. And then it begins. Mm-hmm. And then it begins. You know,
with
fight.
You're not going to make me bring up the really crappy Mortal Kombat cartoon. Okay, all right.
I was thinking Mortal Kombat Conquest, the live action TV show.
Oh, dude,
with
Kristana
Loken in it.
they used to show that every time after WCW Nitro.
Well, wait a minute. They had a live action TV show.
Yeah, should have.
Yeah, yes. I watched it Sunday mornings. That's what I watched before I went to church.
Like, get you in the mood.
Babes and boobs and fights.
And then you immediately go to repent.
Yeah, no, not really.
I did not know that had a live action series.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're not missing much, but you know, it had its moments.
It
followed the guy with the pointy hat.
Oh, Raiden?
Yeah. No.
The Razor hat.
Yeah, the Razor hat. Not Liu Kang, but like his like other
Kang
guy.
Liu.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Oh, I know you're talking about. Yeah, okay. I got you. Wow. Well, that's bad.
Talk about segues, all right?
Yes.
Roll it back. Well, all right. Well, let me move on to the next question, because this is sort of along the lines of what we were talking about anyway. How regular does a comic have to come out to make you a return customer? Because this happens a lot in indies, where you'll see issue one, and then for 8 months after that, you don't see nothing. And then you have to remind yourself, oh, crap, I picked this up 8 months ago. I was interested in it. I should totally pick it up again. But you got to keep your eye out, because if you don't realize it's solicited in Diamond, that's it. I mean, that's how I felt about Bomb Queen. I was picking up Bomb Queen. I picked up issue one, completely forgot about issue two. Then issue three was on my order. And I'm like, what? I mean, luckily, having a store to go to that actually gets that sort of stuff in, I'm not going to mention it just because Raph's not on the call. but you know, I mean, having a store to go to that has that in, I was able to pick it up. But if I was in a situation where I was in, you know, Kansas, I might not have been able to pick up Bomb Queen number two, and then the rest of it's useless to me until I pick up Bomb Queen number two. So we're in that situation. How regular does a comic book have to come out to make you a return customer? Al, this one's yours.
Once a year.
Once a year?
I still do. I mean, I read manga. My favorite book is one called Excel Saga, and we're lucky to get a volume of that a year. Sometimes it's 2 years between volumes, but
thanks for reminding me that's still coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. If a book's good enough, I mean, you're going to wait for it. Look at Scott Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrim takes, you know, Brendan O'Malley takes, or is it Brian O'Malley? I'm going to screw that up. It's either Brendan or Brian. To Brian O'Malley.
Yeah.
I've got the first four. I just read the fourth one. It's awesome, and I want the next one to come out, but I know it's going to be a year or so, but mm-hmm. I really don't care. It's worth it. It's worth the wait. It's probably easier for something like Scott Pilgrim or Excel Saga because they come out in 200-page digests as opposed to a single 22-page floppy. So, you know, you might be asking a bit much of your people that are sticking with you. At the same time, if you're putting out something and you know, it's a quality product, and you're able to stay in communication with your fan base to let them know. You know, another one that I like is it's another sort of manga, but it's an online comic called Mega Tokyo. Now, this guy has the publishing schedule of a snail. I mean, we're lucky to get a book any 3 years from him, but he does put it out online, and he does talk about, hey, here's what's going on with the with getting the book ready. You know, right. We're about 3/4 of the way there. You know, if you're waiting for the print book, you know, it's probably going to be sometime in December, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, communication's huge. We didn't have that back in the 80s and the 70s. You didn't hear from your artist saying, hey, by the way, you know, here's what's going on with the book right now. You just were lucky to walk into the convenience store and see a book there.
Yeah. And that's sort of the way it goes here, because you have to be lucky enough to remember, oh, crap, this hasn't come out in a year. And then actually have it, you know, be in your line of sight later on. So how regular does a comic have to come out for you, Mr. Eric?
Well, it depends on the nature of the story. I mean, if we're talking indies, I would get much more frustrated if something like a definitive limited series that has a very tight story to it, like a Lock and Key, mm-hmm. something that is sort of written for the trade. Versus something like the book that I'm actually holding in my hand that I read yesterday, something called the Mercury and the Murd Collected Edition.
I've never heard of that thing. I have no idea. I don't want to know anything about this book. I'm sorry.
Okay, I won't tell you anything about it. But I did just read this yesterday, actually, as a matter of fact. And
I love free plugs. Thank you so much.
It's the least I could do. At the low, low price of $3.99, I highly recommend it to anyone.
And remember, if you order PKD Media on HeroesCorner.com, you receive a coupon for one free comic book on Heroes Corner for the month after that. Okay, continue.
And that's PKD Media Presents number one.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, that's PKD Media Presents number one. And you can find all about it at PKDmedia.com. Yes, indeed. All right.
And for sketches.
And I really don't bring that up just to kiss your ass, Mr. Pryor, which
wait,
I certainly will do, because it's
what?
It's so soft and lovely. the comic, not yeah. Never mind. No, but I mean something that's very definitive or those done in ones that you were talking about. And basically, just something that's good. I'm willing to wait for it. You know, like Al, you were saying, you know, wait a year. Sure. It again depends on the nature of the book. Now, if you give me something that I just am so into, and you promise that it's going to be out in a couple months, and then you don't see it ever, or you know, 2 years down the road, then it feels like there's some sort of, you know, breach of an unspoken contract. But no, I mean, if as long as you do keep that communication open, and with as much as you can, whether it's through, you know, your own message boards or letters, columns, or whatever, and you don't make promises that, you know, that your ass can't keep, then I'm willing to wait.
Well,
so
one of the major problems, though, Eric, is that with some books, you'll pick up issue one, you'll pick up issue two, and then whatever publishing company they were with folds. And then either one of two things happens. Either they got to find a new distributor, or they just never finished the damn thing. Like, I'm remembering when, what the hell was it? That publication company that used to do, like, main comics and now does, like, nothing but, like, Christian literature.
Alias.
Alias, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Because I remember there were a couple books coming out of that I was really enjoying.
Yeah, I love the hell out of Alias, and I was kind of ticked.
Yeah.
Because... Oh, yeah, they had a lot of good ones. Like Lullaby was an incredible book, and they also had an Isis book, which is now being published by Blue Water, which is one that I actually collect. They were able to find a lot of Blue Water titles, actually. Blue Water just decided we didn't need to work through Alias. We'll just do it ourselves. And
well, they got lucky. They got lucky they had the resources to do that, because, you know, again, that doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. That book about the monkey coming out of Alias.
Oh, God.
It was like a space monkey?
Oh, yeah, but I don't know the name of it. Wow.
Yeah, that one I was actually really enjoying, and I picked it up at Hanley's here in New York, you know, issue one, and I never saw the damn thing again because Alias went out of business. So you're going to run into that problem every now and then, Eric, and sometimes you don't know how long it's going to be until you get the next issue because of craziness like that. So what do you do as an indie an indie guy? I mean, do you suck it up and hope for the best?
No, that's what I've always done. I mean, I mean, you're fully right. I have at least a couple long boxes full of series that over the years that are exactly like that. That, you know, just either jump ship or you never saw them again, or maybe the creator got a job at one of the two, or you know, something else.
I guess I've just always kind of taken it as a something you have to deal with when you're dealing with the smaller companies. I mean, it, I guess technically it's something we have to deal with occasionally with the big companies as well, but we sort of hold them to, I won't say higher standards because it's certainly not a higher standard, but we give them less leeway because we understand, I think, that they're more corporate entities that are beholden to their buyers and their stockholders to actually make sure those products come out on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But, you know, and on the flip side, a lot of us will complain when a fill-in artist or a fill-in issue entirely is brought in on a title that we collect because, you know, it breaks up a story or, ah, oh, that's, you know, this one sucked compared to the run that was going on. So, you know, which would you rather? Would you rather wait or take the chance, or would you rather, you know, just have your books for the sake of having it? So I don't know. It's a tough call.
It's funny you should put it exactly like that, too, because Manhunter escaped cancellation again.
No.
What? Yes. Yes. It is going to be continuing as a backup in one of the new Battle for the Cowl books.
No, let's not talk about Manhunter. Let's talk about Blue Beetle.
Yeah, and Blue Beetle.
With Mike Norton.
Mike Norton.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
In Booster Gold.
Be showing up in my Booster Gold book, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Mark Andraco and George Aschanti are going to be doing Manhunter.
Wow.
In the back of one of Paul Dini's Battle for the Cowboys.
Streets of Gotham.
Streets mm-hmm. of Gotham, yeah. So, I mean,
power to them. I think that's a great thing that DC's doing because, you know, there's no way that they can't raise prices because everybody else is, but at least they're at least trying for a while to say, here's a little more bang for your buck.
Yeah, I think
like
it's a great
Marvel,
call for them.
Where this month it looked like almost all their books were $3.99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
they're
not
releasing
only
a shitload of one shots and miniseries, but you know.
Oh yeah, and a lot of those extremely useless. But not only that, you know, with a lot of stuff that Marvel's doing that's $3.99, you know, they'll give you unnecessary reprint stories that you don't need.
The Punisher saga.
Oh God.
You know, I'm tired of seeing a book that you buy that has like a new 8-page story. But then the next like 20-something pages is stuff from like 1985. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not necessary. You know, that is so not necessary. But with DC doing the you know thing with Blue Beetle and Manhunter, yeah, no, I give them props for doing that too. Because I give them props. I hope it all works out.
I hope so too. It was good to see Agents of Atlas number one, by the way, actually having a backup story with it when it was $3.99. So that was very nice to see. I'm sorry I cut you off there.
No, that's okay. One thing I was just going to say, and one thing Marvel is doing right, I don't know if you're reading it, is pick up Astonishing Tales.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing an anthology book now, and they are getting some great talent in on that book. And they're having fun with the comics again. They did a MODOK story in this thing that had me just pissing my pants laughing at it. It's like he gets a dart or something on his head, and he can't reach it because he's got those little hands. I was crying laughing at it. I mean, they're having fun with the book again, so... You know, for everything that we gripe about Marvel, the one thing I've been screaming for is to do an anthology book, and they're doing one.
Well, see, so, my biggest fear, because they did this before. They had an anthology book last year, a year and a half ago. Wasn't it called like Marvel Comics Presents or something?
Yes, it was, yeah.
And it came out, and you know, they had like, you know, X amount of stories in each book, and I thought it was pretty cool, and then it just disappeared.
I'm not saying it won't happen with this one, but I'm trying to throw my support behind it, definitely.
Oh, no. I'm glad you told me about it because, see, now I'll actually go out and look for it and give it a chance. I would
Chance. Based on just what we've said, I'll make you all groan, but the lead story, and it is a Wolverine Punisher story, but beautiful artwork. Cannot remember. It's like Roquefort or something like that. He does top cow art, and he did the whole Madame Mirage series for them. And
all right.
If you haven't seen that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll wind up with continued good creators as opposed to the main problem I had with Marvel Comics Presents, where they would have all these stories about characters I could really not care much about in it.
Yeah.
That was my issue with it. But so far so good, at least maybe. But let me roll things back a little bit and have Sean talk a little bit more. How often do books have to come out to take your interest?
It's like this: if you could only put out one 22-page story a year. You know, for your own sake, it would just be, you know, easier if you just put that online. Save yourself printing costs, save yourself printing trouble, and save people the agony of thinking that the book is coming out monthly. The internet would probably be your best bet. Mm-hmm. That's just how I see it.
Internet is the future.
Exactly. We are in an age where there is no excuse no excuse as far as communicating to others as to, like, you know, the state of your schedule, you know where the book is at, you know, what level it's at. We're in an era of you can communicate with anybody almost any way possible. So if you know your book's not coming out, you just say, hey, like everybody else has said, hey, this book isn't coming out until this date, but this is what we're doing. This is the stage of where we're at. And I see the biggest problem with, like, a lot of these indie titles when they get caught up, you know, with other publishers, you know, and those publishers close and they're trying to take their property somewhere else. You get all this legal binding stuff where, you know, all these legal issues where they might not be able to take said title or they might not be able to talk about said title. So they kind of get clammed up sometimes as well. You know, so that's somewhat of an issue. But if you've only got a 22-page book, I say just put it on the internet if you're only going to do that, like, you know, once a year. For me, I'm to the point now where if we're coming out with books, depending on what type of book it is, like with PKD Media Presents number one, that's 100-plus pages. We're going to try to do that two or three times a year, period. No more, no less. Two or three times a year. And Mercury and the Murd is always going to be part of that. So, you know, you're always going to get Mercury and the Murd and all the other titles that are in that book. Two or three times a year, period. If we have any other, you know, any other stories or any other side projects we're going to do, there'll be 36-page one-shots. And, you know, and if we ever continue it, it would be like, you know, like another quote-unquote graphic novel, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll just do it that way. That's it.
Exclamation point. Question mark.
Yes. Question mark. Yes. And, you know, it would just because it's just easier for us that way. And by using the new website, open April 1st. The old website is still up. It's Juki. New website up April 1st. We can, you know, communicate with everybody so much better so everybody knows where everything's going. And that's the whole thing with independent publishers. We've got to use the internet. We've got to use it, make it effective, and make it work for us. And until we do that, do a better job of it, we're kind of going to struggle a little bit. Now, some cats got it down to a T. Daniel Corsetto, Girls with Slingshots. You know, there's not one person, you know, that I don't know that isn't reading that webcomic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now granted, webcomic standards are different than, you know, standard comic standards, but I don't care. To me, a comic's a comic either way. And, you know, people know about girlswithslingshots.com, period. You know, she's always in touch, you know, with the readers and stuff like that, always. More of us have to get that type of communication.
Well, think of how many webcomics creators have actually been able to make it their only job. Quit their regular job and make webcomics their regular job because of just how much it actually works on that.
Yeah.
You know, like with Diesel Sweeties, R. Stevens, Questionable Content, Jeff Jocks, you know, those type of guys, they were able to say, I'm making enough, you know, from people coming to the site and all the ads clicking and stuff like that and all the t-shirts that people buy for me to actually just focus entirely on this. That's everybody's dream.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to quit that. I'm sure that's your dream too, Mr. Pryor, you know, being able to just do PKD Media, you know?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, that's why, you know, I'm hustling to make people believe in these books.
Sorry. New England just had the first webcomics convention.
I saw that, yeah.
Just recently, so it's definitely a whole area that's come into its own.
Yeah, I mean, it might be very well the future of independent comics. I mean, if they play their cards right, and there are good enough places to read, you know, like actual real comic books as opposed to web comics, you know, if we get readers that do it, I mean, again, we've been talking about this on the show for God knows how long now, saying that, you know, once we have a good, you know, e-reader or a good actual, like, Kindle-type thing with color on it, that it's going to revolutionize, you know, indie comics and comics period, you're going to start seeing things different. But yeah, webcomics are a huge way for indie people to get their book out there. And that's not going to change for a while. Brent, how often does it have to come out to keep your interest?
Isn't that kind of mute or a moot point because I don't get but like one comic a month?
It sort of is.
Well, except that one month when I did get PKD Media.
Mercury and the Murd.
The Murd trade. Thing.
Yes, and I appreciate that very much, sir.
Calling you out on the spot. You're going to get PKD Media Presents number one? Calling you out.
I forgot to order it.
Oh!
And I haven't read Murd yet, but it's on the top of the box. Just it keeps getting buried underneath the others.
And as such, the state of independent comics.
All right, that's the end of the episode. Thanks, guys.
Getting stacked on top of by other books. Yes, but that's okay. The fact that you bought it, that does mean something.
Doesn't matter that I read it. It matters that it's in your pocket.
That is true.
The money is in your pocket.
Yes.
It's a start, and that's what matters. It's a start, and hopefully by the time you get to it in the year 2025, you enjoy it. And that's what matters, is that you enjoy it. And I hope you enjoy it. So, well, you know, but it's all good.
Well, by then, when Comic Timing is up to episode 1247, I'll make sure to ask Brent.
Well, he didn't say I had to read it for this episode, so...
Yeah, I know.
I asked him. I said, do I need to read that? He didn't say anything.
But remember... You just said, did you need to?
You didn't say there was going to be a quiz.
I just love calling Brent out. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Move on to who have I not asked this question yet? Eric.
Yourself?
Me. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, my answer is...
Eric is stalling.
I answered, man. I answered.
Yeah. We be alone. No, it's just that we go so many places. It's hard to remember. For me, I'd say I'm around where Al is. It's got to be about a year. Because I can never be the type of person who waits 2.5 years for Planetary to finish. You know, and I mean, that's still not done. And I don't know how long it's going to be until it's actually done. Like, I'm not even going to pick up trades for that until I know for certain that last issue is out, that John Cassaday has drawn it, has drawn the full issue, and that it's all said and done and over.
I thought like a year ago they said that he was working on it or something.
Yeah. No. He's still working on it.
Since this episode of Comic Timing was recorded, it was revealed on April 1st that apparently John Cassaday finally actually turned in the pages to the last issue of Planetary, and that it will be released sometime in the not-too-distant future. Warren Ellis promises that this was not an April Fool's joke. Carry on.
Oh. Oh, I'm glad he's really a prolific creator, you know. That's great. Yeah, because Beyond's been on X-Men for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be done about the same time Battle Chasers gets done.
Oh, sure.
Oh.
Want to talk about waiting a long time for the finish to a book? There you go.
Or All-Star Batman.
Oh, yes, which is on indefinite hiatus.
Yeah, hiatus.
Because
now.
He's working on Wildcats now, apparently.
Oh, yeah?
It's I thought it was because the new All-Star novel. Batman by Morrison and Quietly was coming out.
No. That's just called Batman and Robin, Eric.
That's the real Batman.
It's the real DC Comics Batman who doesn't say goddamn every 5 sentences.
You never know. It could be Jason Todd.
Ooh.
Or the new Robin, Damian.
Or Damian. Yeah, Damian could be like, I'm the goddamn Robin.
These are
I would buy every Batman book if that happened. I swear
I
would.
That's when he's older and is smoking, but, you know, right as of right now, he'd be like, I'm the goddamn Robin.
Little chibi Christian Bale running around going, I'm Robin. I'm the goddamn Robin. But anyway, going back to what I was saying, yeah, it's got to be about a year in between, or else I'm just going to totally lose interest and move on to the next thing. And I don't care if your book does eventually come out. Maybe I'll pick it up and trade at some point, but I'm sure as hell not going to wait and say, oh, hey, this book that I've been waiting a year and a half for came out. It's issue 2 of 12, you know, and then wait for the 10 more issues after that to be delayed. I don't think so. So that's where I am. But then again, it's a double-edged sword, because if I like the damn thing...
You're going to pick it up.
Yeah, and I don't pick it up, it's very possible that the trade may never happen. So, I don't know, it's really hard to say one or the other, but I'm pretty much going to stick by if it ain't out every year, it's done. And to answer a question that's been asked in the chat... No, the 12 has not finished yet, and it is on indefinite hiatus.
What?
Yeah, because JMS is busy with other stuff. Yeah, he's.
I think that'll be the next book that Steve and I make. We're going to make one and call it indefinite hiatus. It's countable when it never comes out.
Well, no. That's great though. You should have it come out, and the tagline be, "This is on indefinite hiatus."
Yeah.
Or better yet, start a podcast and name it Indefinite Hiatus. You are on Indefinite Hiatus.
Don't end.
That's kind of like naming your band Free Beer No Cover. You know, just like, put it out for, you know, all that else.
Oh, don't give me ideas. If only I knew a musical instrument. So, going along the lines of what I just said, see, this is good. This is a nice flowing episode. Do you prefer indie trades or indie singles? And this one will begin with me, because I haven't begun anything yet. Oftentimes, I will choose a trade over singles because I don't want to wait, and then I have to wait. So, it's kind of a moot point. But whatever, I prefer trades over singles. In fact, I'd sort of like it if people who, you know, say that they're not sure how often the book's going to come out, just wait until they're done and then put it out as a graphic novel. Because I'm sure a lot of you guys would agree, you'd much rather get a full, complete story than get issue one, wait a year and a half, get issue two, wait a year and a half, get issue three, and that's that, you know? Instead, let's get the full graphic novel with the entire story in it when it's done, and then they can solicit it then, and then we can decide whether or not we're going to like it or not. Agree or disagree? Sean?
Agree.
I agree with you with some points on that. I mean, once again, like if you give somebody a book that, like an anthology book that you know will have continuing titles in it, that will have continuing stories in it, I mean, as long as the book is big enough to hold people off for at least 3 or 4 months, you know, you can come out with it once or, you know, one or two or three times a year. That's just how I feel about it. And once again, using it as an example, sorry, PKD Media presents number one.
Yeah, again, six title.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. We're just, you know, we're one of those little small shitty indie publishers. But
I have got to get better about plugging my crap, man.
oh, and Sean, I must say, the guy who did that that promo for you, he's got a sexy voice.
You know what, man? You know what? I swear, when you like, oh, for those who don't know, like Ian did a little promo, audio promo for PKD Media Presents Number One. I'm trying to get it on a couple of podcasts before the end of the month. So Ian used this Christian Bale Batman gravelly voice for it, and I swear, halfway toward the end, I was just waiting for him to say, "Swear to me." That's all I was waiting on. That's all I was waiting on. But he did a real good job with it. But anyway, I digress.
As long as I don't say, it's fucking distracting. Oh, good.
But he did good with it. He did good with it. But no, something like that.
Did you guys? Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say. Just brief interruption. Did you guys see South Park this past weekend when they were riffing on the comic?
No.
I am the coon.
They were all doing the voices, and I mean, I think I was just laughing so hard. Let her go.
Cartman dresses up as a masked vigilante named the Coon, and his slogan is, of course, "Every town needs a coon."
Man, when I saw that, my wife looked at me, and I looked at her. I'm like, did they just say what I thought they said? I was like, I know these motherfuckers did not just say this on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it had that nice pause in between before he said the coon. I'm like, oh, hell no. I know they just did not say that. But they offend everybody.
Of course. It's equal opportunity, you know, man.
I just shook my head. I said, I cannot believe that they did that. But hey, it was still funny, though. It was still funny.
I said the same thing when I heard the Jonas Brothers actually sprayed white foam on their audience in the actual movie, and it wasn't just a South Park thing.
In 3D.
My girlfriend told me that, and I was like, really? They did that for real?
Oh, your girlfriend went to see the movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she went to see it during MegaCon.
Yeah, actually.
I don't know. Your girlfriend all by herself? You didn't happen to go see it, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, he was busy driving us places.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, no, although it's great, though, because this is actually comic-related. Although this is comic timing, not comic-related. Yeah, I had to make that bad pun. I'm sorry. The Jonas Brothers 3D did so terrible in theaters that a lot of theaters have already taken it out of theaters and replaced it with Coraline 3D again.
Because Not for long. Monsters versus Aliens.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yep.
Because most of the theaters here in New York were showing Coraline 3D after, like, a week of Jonas Brothers.
Hmm. I heard they actually took Watchmen off screens, yeah, and replaced that with the Jonas Brothers movie. So.
No!
Well, what do you want? Big blue dong or white foam on girls' faces?
Well, you know, if you put both of them together...
Can I have one after the other, please?
That's in that special video store.
Yeah, special video store, right. So, Sean, finish your point, please.
Well, okay. Wait, speaking of big blue dongs, have you seen the the YouTube Watchmen video game thing.
Where it's like a Streets of Rage thing where Dr. Manhattan uses his dong as a weapon.
And then fights the Charlie Green Giant in a giant sword fight.
With lightsaber noises.
It's like every gay man's fantasy come true, I think.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man.
I'm sorry. We were talking about equal opportunity hate, so I figured I'd throw it out there.
I'm having a yard sale. I'm selling one co-host.
You couldn't give me away.
Slightly used.
Slightly used, yes.
Gently used. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, Sean, please, if you remember your point, finish it.
No. My point is...
Finish him. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Okay.
It's my fault for having this cast of characters on a podcast. All right, fine.
If you have a title that is at least over 100 pages, I think you're okay. You're absolutely fine. Because you're giving them enough to read in the meantime, and hopefully it's good enough that's not just a toilet read. They read in less than, hopefully it takes them more than 5 minutes to read a 100-page book, or you just basically just define what it is you're trying to get across and how many times you're going to put the book out. I've kind of lost track because we went on so many tangents. I can't remember the entire question as a whole. So
that was basically the question. I think you answered it.
Thank you.
Okay, Brent. Again, yes. This doesn't really pertain to you that much, but maybe you've picked up some indie trades along the way, so you can answer this. Indie trades versus indie singles, which do you prefer?
Trades. That's how I got Umbrella Academy. That's how I have Spawn Collections 1 to 6, which are now over, I think, because Image is starting the Spawn Origins trades in 6 issues. And I was like, God damn it, because they're up to issue 116. And I'm there, and I was waiting for volume 7, thinking I was going to get all the way to the Armageddon thing that happened a couple of years ago, but I guess I just have to bind them.
Hey, Brent, I got a question for you, man. Shoot. If somebody said, okay, we got a 36-page book, square-bound format, it'd probably be 36 pages with like some extras on the end, like, you know, some behind the scenes stuff. Uh-huh. And we say it's a one-shot graphic novel. We may have a sequel for it, but that will also be a one-shot. Would you be interested in that?
Sure. For $4? $5?
It would be inexpensive. No question. It would be inexpensive. It wouldn't be, it wouldn't be some crazy like $8.99 because that's some bullshit. But no, it would be like, $4 or $5.
Sure.
Okay,
I mean,
cool.
I bought all the Thor one-shots and they were all connected.
And those Thor one-shots kicked ass.
They did. Yes, they did. I'm glad I bought those shit. Those were the shit.
Yes, that's
bad. But back to the Spawn. I'm having trouble actually with the binding because the last volume that I have 6 next to me, but volume 5 I had to take back 3 times because it's each thing is like 20 issues thick, and then when you cracked it open, the glue would actually come off of the back cover.
Ugh.
So then you'd have like a broken trade, and I was like reading it, and then I got to like the 5th issue, and it happened, and then super glued it and then went back to it, and then I got 10 issues down the line and it happened again. It really sucked. So the copy I have now is actually never been read, but it did break, so I super glued it. I don't think I'll ever touch it again, but
Image Comics, we cut corners by using cheap glue.
Yeah, so maybe them not doing it anymore is a good thing. I can have good bound things. Maybe I'll replace the whole damn thing. I don't know.
Who knows, man. But hey, comic binding, it works. Because apparently you can sell your comic books bound for $2,000.
If it's Miracle Man, yeah.
Yeah, if it's Miracle Man, yeah.
But no, but I mean, like, I know this isn't indie, but the Joker hardcover graphic novel, I'm sure would have sucked to read as 5 issues that came out sporadically.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because it's Libermejo and... he's not exactly fast, and all the detail that was put into that, it looked great. So I think more graphic novels are great. Yeah. I'd say if you're an indie publisher and more graphic novels, I would do that a whole lot easier than I would 6 issues that I'd, have to sort through 15 pages of publishers on the website to find your issue,
Yeah, hear that, indie creators that are on this call. All right, moving on to Moving on to Eric, trades or singles?
Well, both, really. I mean, I'll gladly take trades, and I guess it depends on the company whether I'm actually going to wait for the trade. I mean, something like an Image or Dark Horse, I might see a solicitation and go, oh, that series looks pretty cool, but I know it's only 6 issues, so I will wait for the trade. But then again, I have confidence that that trade's going to come out. If it's something from one of those, you know, smaller publishers, if it piques my interest, I've got to pick up the single, because you don't know, like you said, I mean, we were just talking about, we don't know if the next issue is even going to come out, let alone waiting for the trade. So, yeah, but I mean, I'll definitely pick up a single on something that I am interested in, and I'm not that confident that it will come out collected.
So, but if something is collected right off the bat, would that make you happy?
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I like having complete stories, and I'm willing to pay a little bit more off the top to have the, you know, the higher page count and the complete story. It's not even just the page count. It's, you know, it's the value for the price you're charging and having the complete story.
Okay. Also along these lines, because I know that some indies like to do the sort of the manga style trade where it's a little shorter. But, you know, still the same page count, and that's how they sort of get away with, you know, charging a little less. Are you okay with digest format for indies, or do you prefer the more comic book size trades?
I personally prefer the more comic book size, but I will read, you know, the digest. There's like happy medians, like the Queen and Country, the Ultimate collections. Those are a little bigger than your traditional like Archie Digest size, but obviously smaller than comic size, and that makes a good solid read for the thickness it is and easy to hold in hand. I mean, if you start getting too many issues in a comic size or even larger on some of the oversized things, you know, that you get a hernia just trying to read the book. But so, yeah, I mean, size doesn't matter that much to me, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I've learned so much about you tonight.
I'm glad.
I'm uncomfortable with this.
Well, good. Now that you're nice and uncomfortable, answer the damn question.
I brought protection.
I qualify my indies, though, because, like, if it's a quote, I'm doing the quote sign thing.
Yeah, that transfers really well over the internet, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't it do so well with audio? Meh. Okay. But like something like Dynamite, you know, yeah, technically it's an indie, but I know they're going to trade their stuff like The Boys. While I do collect The Boys in floppy format, you know, I know that the trade's coming, so it's easier for me to do that. As opposed to something like Bushy Tales or PKD, which, you know, sure, there may be a trade eventually, but I feel like I'm supporting them more by buying the floppy.
And thank you for it.
There you go. And, you know, it's that kind of mentality. You know, there are a few, like, that really, I guess, wow, I'm going all over the place. Anyhow.
Go ahead. That's what this show's about, man. Tangent after tangent after tangent.
Verklempt. Okay.
Talks amongst yourselves.
They have, I'm thinking about the indies that I'm reading now. Like, there's one I'm reading called Take a Chance from Dable Brothers. And that's a really, really good one. But I wanted to see whether it was worth getting the trade, so I have to pick up the floppy of it to see it. There are a few from Ape that I've picked up, like Femme Noir Diaries, which is really good. And the first issue of Scarlet Veronica, which is good, but I have yet to see the other three. So that may be a prime example of what we're talking about, with the book starting but not finishing. And I kind of wanted to finish because it was actually a pretty good read for the first book. But stuff like that, I think you almost have to at least try one of the floppies before you go in and buy the trade, unless you have something like we have on the forums where word of mouth just gets you to say it's a good book, like Lock and Key. I didn't have to pick up a floppy on Lock and Key. I like Joe Hill's writing. Mm-hmm. He's Stephen King's son. I know I'm going to like that. I heard the artwork was incredible from everybody that was on the forum, so really all I had to do was open it up and go, yeah, that artwork's incredible. Okay. I'll buy this. I don't really need to get a floppy version of it. I know it's going to be good.
I like how he can get away with calling himself Joe Hill as opposed to Joe King.
Yeah. Well, props to him. I mean, I didn't know who he was. My boss at work gave me this book because she thought I might like it. And I read it, and I was like, yeah, this guy's a really good writer. He writes a lot like Stephen King. And then I looked him up, and I'm like, that's Stephen King's kid. No wonder.
But how hard would it be if that was his name? You know, every time someone came up to him, are you joking?
Oh, my God. Wow. You know, Eric, thank you for answering my question as to why he's not named Joe King.
That's awesome.
Try the pot roast, people. It's on special.
You want me to tell you how I got these scars?
No. I'm going to need a bigger podcast.
It's big enough already. Thank you. So, moving on down the list here, here's the one that's probably going to have the heavy-handed answers from the people who actually are indie creators on the show. Diamond made some changes, and as I brought up at New York Comic Con, as I brought up a little bit at MegaCon with all the interviews I conducted there, because of these changes, it's a little harder for indie creators to get their books into Diamond. Because of that, there are new distributors popping up, such as Haven and Comics Monkey, yet again, best name ever. And, you know, guys like Heroes Corner that go ahead and extend the olive branch to certain indie creators and give them listings, even though they're not necessarily in one of these giant books, you know, where you get your distribution that way. So, here's the question. Is Diamond a thing of the past for indies? Are things like Haven, Comics Monkey, Heroes Corner, stuff like that, are they going to replace Diamond as a distributor for indies? Is Diamond going to wind up just, I'd say, the big four with, like, Dark Horse, Image, DC, and Marvel, and that's it? Or is there still a reason for Diamond to even bother with indies? And this one, I guess I'll start with the non-indie creators first and work my way down to the indie creators. So, Eric, you're up first.
I guess, to me, the question would be not should Diamond bother with the indie creators, is that should indie creators even bother with Diamond anymore?
Ooh.
I mean, I think the only way you're going to break Diamond's back and get stuff out there is if you start going through these new distribution channels. You know, when it comes down to it, I mean, Diamond really doesn't, you know, I don't know. It's, they have the club mentality going. It's like, oh, you want to be part of our club? You know, you got to meet these certain goals, which I understand from a business point of view. Obviously, you know, they have their warehouse, but they haven't proven. And I managed a comic store for about 8 years back in the 90s, and they weren't even great then. And I mean, Diamond can't prove that they can even service Marvel and DC necessarily all that well. So, you know, no wonder they can't do much justice for the smaller creators, whether it be filling reorders on, you know, the occasional one or two issues, or even listing them properly, or, you know, showcasing the work. So, no, I mean, I think it's great that these alternates are coming out, and if I were working on a book myself right now, I certainly would push to, you know, it's like kind of screw Diamond, you know, go get your product out in front of other people. Do the cons, do everything that, you know, that the guys are talking about doing on the show here. There's a lot of other ways, and technology and, you know, printing capabilities and such with a lot of these print on demand places. I think they've opened up a lot of opportunities, and I hope that we'll see a lot of changes coming from, especially from Diamond, but from all the big distributors or smaller distributors or upcoming distributors and monkeys and such.
Well, and I think it's as much up to the comic book readers as it is up to the comic book creators to let the LCSs know that there are other options out there, especially now, where I know that certain LCSs have already started getting stuff either straight from the publishers for the reorders or from somebody like Haven or something like that to get their books. But there are still plenty of people, even though they are LCS owners, that aren't in the know that there are these other options out there when it comes to getting your books. And I think they're going to need to know as much as much more than the online people, where it's easier for us to find out. So if you do still go into your LCS, it might be a good idea to tell them, hey, Diamond's not the only guy out there anymore. They're not the only camper in the woods, you know, and let them know that there are other places to get books these days. So yeah. I'm saying it out there right now to everybody listening on this. If you're still with your LCS, let them know there's other options out there. You know, if you're on friendly terms with the owner. Okay, there's my preaching for the podcast, I guess.
Amen.
Shalom.
And the black church says, "Wow, wow." Sorry. Go about your business.
Hallelujah. Praise. Comics. Okay, over to Brent.
I just want to say, speaking of churches, the Vatican is asking Catholics to ban the movie Angels and Demons, but they usually need to read a script before they ban a movie, but this time just the name Dan Brown was enough, apparently. Straight from the Holy See right there.
I'm so happy I'm Jewish. All right, Brent. It's probably the only time I'm going to say that today. Diamond, is it a thing of the past, sir?
I'm going to do the show a favor and keep my mouth shut because I don't know much about it.
Give us at least a semi-answer, okay? Because you've never picked up previews. I know that, right?
No, I've picked it up one or two times, but not on a regular basis.
Okay. All right. So in a world where previews is getting damn close to...
In a world where previews is still being published, even though no one picks it up, only one man, and this man is Steven Seagal, has an answer.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. There was a Steven Seagal movie on last night, and here he is, 50 years old. It's from 2004, and he's like double the weight that he used to be, and he's still trying to pull off the damn ponytail and the bad guy routine. So then I turn the channel, and I find a Jean-Claude Van Damme. It was a fun night when it came to movies, but all right, fine. Anyway, give us at least a little bit of answers, Brent, all right? A little bit, just a little bit, even though you say you don't know that much. Talk about a deviation, right? Come on, man.
Sorry, my roommate walked in the door 10 minutes ago, and he's talking to me and making me laugh, so I didn't hear a fucking word he said.
Nice.
And he loves it when he does that. He really does. He just told me.
It's hard to talk on the podcast when you're shaking your junk in my face, man.
Do you want to know? I don't know, Brad.
Oh, dear.
You're curious.
Brent, come back to us, Brent. You hear? Sorry. You hear? You good? Okay, fine.
I'm
come on. Give us a little bit of an answer, please. I know that you're bowing out, but even though you don't know that much about the industry and all that, I mean, can you see Diamond as a thing of a past?
I think diamonds are too expensive as they are right now. So, but I don't think they're going anywhere because, you know, people are too stupid to say that, you know, I'm going to buy a fake diamond or whatever when it looks just the same or lab-created diamonds.
All right,
so,
moving on.
You know.
After all, diamonds are forever.
Yes, Ian, I support independent books, yes.
why, thank you, Brent. Thank you. Yeah, wow.
Well, as much as I know about diamonds comes from Mandy and all the pressure I'm getting, so, you know, that's about it.
Well, what? Rios already married you. What are you talking about? All right. Sean, I guess it's time to hear a creator stance on this. As a man who was recently turned down from Diamond and got...
What?
yeah. Mercury and the Murd, the collected edition, got the no from Diamond. We got the rejection letter a few months back. They told me that the artwork was not up to industry standards, even though I had a gentleman, Dave DeWanch, who's had, you know, books published by companies like Super Real Graphics Presents Gnome, which was also distributed through Diamond, by the way. They said no. They said no. The art's not up to standards, and they said that the writing is not up to comic industry standards as well. So, you know, at first I took it real personal. Then after that, I just laughed it off, and it made me realize that at this time, I don't need them. I really don't. And that's not me saying fuck you, bitches. But it's more me saying that the only thing they've done is just made me stronger, and, you know, and make me work even harder to prove to everybody that these books are good. Brent, I can't stand you. I can't stand you.
I just interjected on the chat because Sean was on a roll. But now that we're here.
Okay, no problem.
To say all that not up to industry standards, I just was like, how does that make me want to read the book now?
Right.
Keep in mind, this is the same company that will say up to industry standards is you know, this book where the guy runs in and says your vagina is haunted.
Hey,
I wouldn't exactly be busting my ass to try and get in with that little club, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and let's also bring up that this was about was this like 3 weeks or 4 weeks before they actually changed their standards, if I remember correctly? So
yes.
that might also be the reason behind it, because you were on the fringe of them just about to say that we're totally changing our standards for indies.
Oh yeah, so I let it go, and there are other ways to get our to get our books out there. You know, with Haven, you know, if I want to take that route where I want to print a decent amount of books to distribute through Haven, we got that. I'm making my push really through convention runs right now. We got Heroes Con, Pittsburgh Comic Con, Mid Ohio Con. You know, we got that. I'm going to put a couple of books on a Comics Monkey and see how that works out. I'm still going to keep working with DCBS and Heroes Corner because they've just been wonderful to me, and I will continue to work with them always. And, you know, hopefully I'll be able to integrate a web store into our website so people can buy our comics that way if they want to. And one thing that I am going to do, I'm going to experiment with a cell phone comic. I'm going to make a comic, you have iVerse, and now I think they're called Robot Comics. They used to be called Android Comics, but I think now they're called Robot Comics and ClickWheel, and they have comic books specifically for cell phones.
Ah.
And I'm going to work on a comic that's built for the parameters of an iPhone or an Android cell phone. But there are definitely plenty of ways for us to get our books out there. Plus, also, like I said, the internet as a whole. You can view pieces of the book at a time and, entice readers to keep reading it and say, okay, you know what? I need to go ahead and just go ahead and buy this book. So if anything, it's just made me, very, reluctant to deal with Diamond in the future. And I don't take it personal. You know, the "fuck you bitches" statement was just something that I felt at the time. Fuck y'all bitches. But
is what I would have said.
Yeah, that's what I would have said.
Damn, man. Damn.
Now, see, if you were me, I would use the rejection letter as a quote on one of your books. You know, it's kind of like a movie poster. It's like, best read of the century, says Bob Smith. Not up to industry standards, says Diamond Comics Distributors.
Fuck y'all bitches, says Sean Breyer.
All I'm going to say is that when Sean says "fuck you bitches," it sounds really good. If I said it, I'd sound totally gay. Fuck you bitches.
You actually sounded a little bit like the alien from American Dad when you said that. Roger?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Who ate all the pecan sandies? Anyway. Here is the key. Here's the real big key issue with stuff like Haven Distribution and Comics Monkey. Mm-hmm. Because Haven's already got a catalog called Enemy Entertainment out, and Comics Monkey's working on their catalog. It's going to be up to, like you said, it's going to be up to the readers to tell the LCS the LCS owners who aren't very keen into indies, when they're dealing with previews, to take a look at these books, even if that only means they only order one book. As long as, you get them started, that's what matters most. I understand with some retailers, a lot of comic retailers aren't making a ton of money. They're making enough money to, one, pay the bills, pay the lease on the building that, that they're renting out of, and the utilities. Okay. So I understand with some of them, they, you only have so much money to spend because you expect people to only buy Marvel and DC books. But there are other stores that do very well, period. And it's going to be up to them, to take the chance to look through Haven Distribution and Comics Monkey. I kind of liken it to this type of situation. Imagine if you had a Best Buy, and like the Best Buy was ran by your average your stereotypical or I'm sorry not stereotypical but typical LCS owner/retailer. If a Best Buy was owned and operated by a standard LCS retailer, you would have one store full of Magnavox equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, because they wouldn't order out of any other catalog but the Magnavox catalog.
Which is funny, because that's exactly what they do for the digital converter boxes. They only buy one digital converter box from one person, and that's it.
Mm. And see, and that doesn't work. Now, I'm not saying that all stores do that. Let me make myself 100% clear. They don't.
But most do for the digital converter box, specifically. That's what I'm still pissed about. You got to go online to actually get a digital converter box that's anything but the one digital converter box that any specific store keeps in stock. So that's what I'm saying about that. Like, I mean, there are certain electronics that places like Best Buy, and again, I know that this is sort of going on a bit of a rant here, but I'm going to bring it back to comic shops, so trust me, hear me out. There are certain electronic shops that will only put certain electronics in there because they're the best known brands. You know, like Panasonic, when it comes to TVs, you'll see Panasonic, you'll see Sony, you'll see maybe Toshiba, maybe a couple of Hitachis and like an LG, and that's it. But if Joe Schmo in Toluca is making plasmas, doesn't matter how good quality they are, if Best Buy doesn't know who you are, Best Buy's not going to keep you in. That's what a lot of the comic shops' philosophies are when it comes to comic books. You know, they put in the plasma, you know, the plasma TVs of comics. You know, the Panasonic TVs of comics. They put in Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image, and damn be to anybody else because they don't sell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people's standards are. Oh, so yes, no, I did indeed bring it around. So how about
you
that?
You did bring it around, and that was quite the analogy, sir. Quite the analogy. But no, you're right. And but for some people, it's just going to take it's going to take the readers to say, hey, I really like this indie book. Can you order it for me? Can you get it in? And mm-hmm. you know, it's and once again, this is where the internet comes in. You know, making you know either samples of your book or pieces of your comic available on the internet and say, hey, this book is available through these outlets. Tell your comic book store this is how they can get them. And if they still don't want to help you, then I got a store right here. I will help you personally. You know, no matter what, you know, we kind of got to go. We have to go out of our way to say we're going to get this comic to you no matter how. Yeah. And not only that, but there's also, quote unquote, the, you know, the PDF. There's also the CBC, CBZ or CBR format. Uh-huh. There's that too. You know, we can give it to you however you want it, but we just have to, you know, we just have to communicate.
But don't give them HIV.
No, we can't do that.
No, that would be bad.
That's bad.
Wow, either everybody's asleep or they're muted right now. I can't tell which one.
they're like, dude, this dude's jokes just suck.
I muted myself just because I'm having an allergy attack like nobody's business.
I was about to
say. I'd be on here the whole time going, ah!
Oh, dear. Eric, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, just making sure. You're nice and quiet. I like that.
I'm fascinated. I'm engrossed in the conversation.
Good, good. Oh, and growing back to the iPod for a minute. Excuse me, the iPhone, Sean. My favorite mm-hmm. my favorite headline when the iPhone 3.0 software hit the net was on Buzz Out Loud the day that it was released. Their episode title was, iPhone gets features crappy Nokias have had for 3 years.
Yes.
Copy
yes.
paste. MMS. Yeah.
The truth hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move it over to the Allergy Master himself. And yeah, Al, is Diamond a thing of the past, or is it still a thing of the present, or possibly the future?
Well, I mean, when Steve and I were putting together Thugs, Diamond wasn't even a consideration, and they still aren't. I mean, the level of comic that we're putting out. You know, it's not a question of Diamond considering us. We didn't even consider them. To get the information out, we have the World Wide Web. We've got, you know, if we haven't even approached Haven or Comics Monkey to put our thing out because it's such a small press run that we've pretty much just gone through IndiePlanet.com, where if you want our book, just go to their website and they'll print one out for you. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to cheapercomics.com, which is somebody I should plug because they've been very good to us. They're another local online comic store, and they're probably not to the level of Heroes Corner or DCPS as of yet, but they are definitely working up to that, and someday hopefully we'll be there. But they've been very independent friendly to us. They actually let me sit in for Tim Seeley at the Phoenix Cactus Con, so I got to be his seat warmer where he wasn't there promoting Hackslash. So you can imagine how much fun that was when people came up and they were like, oh, Tim Seeley, whoa, he got fat. Judas Priest. And you know, I had to tell him, yeah, I'm not Tim Seeley, obviously, but I'll still do a sketch for you. And they're like, great, cool. And I'm like, you know, I'm the writer on the book, right? So you're not going to get a really good sketch. Oh. They're like, is Tim coming back anytime soon? I'm like, yeah, he should be back in about an hour. Okay, I'll come back then. Okay.
Well, hey, come on. Wayne made a fortune off those crappy writer sketches he was doing at MegaCon. Okay, he didn't make a fortune off them, but they were funny.
Well, you know,
only
what
because
we were
he
doing,
found idiots actually, dumb enough to buy an Invisible Woman sketch with nothing on it.
We did all our sketching. Tim Seeley did this as well. We donated all of the proceeds we got for our sketches to Heroes, mm-hmm. or to whatever used to be Actor. Now it's the
Hero.
Yeah. We donated everything. Him, Joe Chen was there. I forget who else. There were two other, you know, big name artists and me. So, and I don't know why he threw my name in there, because God bless him, Ed, who runs CheaperComics.com and was hosting it, hyped me up like nobody's business. I mean, I felt like I was a hot property.
Great.
Al Sparrow, the writer of Thugs, is here, and you get people that are like, who?
Wait, Al Sparrow? Isn't he a pirate?
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, the writer of Thugs is here, and God bless it, the best day of my life was at that con, because a complete stranger bought the book. That's the best feeling you could ever ask for as an independent comic person. It's one thing when your friends buy your book and stuff like that. You know, you almost expect it. And,
sure.
But when a complete stranger came up and was looking at the book, and he's like, you know, this really looks neat. Here's $3. And I'm like, no, really? And then there was another guy who was kind of like a special ed student, and he looked at it and saw that we kill Batman and Robin in like the first three pages, and he's like, you guys are going to get sued. And I got into an argument with him. I'm like, no, it's parody, dude. That's not Batman. You're going to get sued. He just keeps yelling it. And I'm like, Security, somebody get over here. I hate to be a prima donna when Tim Seeley's not here. But yeah, I mean, that's the whole deal is we don't even look at Diamond as being something that we would use. Because the internet's out there, Indie Planet's out there. When we promote our stuff, they're saying, go look in Diamond. And that's something that we actually hit a major snag with when we tried to sell it in local comic book stores, because they were like, well, are you listed in Diamond?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
No. I'm an independent title. And, you know, you're going to get a lot more of that, because Diamond just up there, like, however many you have to be able to sell in order to get in the book. And, you know... You're going to get a lot more people like me in there, and they're really going to be afraid to take a chance on that. And a lot of people were, at least here in Arizona. We hit a huge brick wall trying to market the book into local comic book stores. They were, you know, all you have to do is say, oh, yeah, it's an independent comic, and they all run. They run like hell. However, the online community has embraced it like crazy. You know, again,
great.
CheaperComics.com bought like 20 books from me. And I'm like, you're not going to sell 20 of I have such confidence in my product. You're not going to sell 20 of these. And he's like, no, I really will. I'll push it on everybody. You know, either way, your stuff's getting out there. And then he cut me a check, and I was like, okay, I'll see you around issue 2. No problem. I'll keep
going. Well, hey, if you'd like to try and hawk more of them, perhaps I can get you in touch with Bob and Sam of Heroes Corner at heroescorner.com when issue 2 comes out.
There you go. We may actually do that. And again, that's it. I think this first time out, you know, Steve and I just weren't really sure of where to dip our feet. And now that we're seeing Haven and Comics Monkey, we may approach him next time and say, you know, here's what we've got, and maybe resolicit issue 1. And, you know, anybody waiting for the trade on Thugs is going to be waiting a long damn time. But
well, now, remember, Comics Monkey's part of Kablam.
Is
so,
it?
Yeah, Comics Monkey's part of Kablam. So you're already good to go.
What is Indie Planet then?
Indie Planet's part of Kablam as well. Indie Planet is their, you know, their retail hub, but what they're doing is with Comics Monkey is going to provide a catalog, a retail catalog, like a catalog, like say for instance the previews for all the books on Indie Planet. You have to go in, log into your account and say, I want this comic book in the Comics Monkey catalog. And so then they tally up all the people that say they want their books in the Comics Monkey catalog. They make the catalog, send it out to the comic book stores. The comic book stores look at the catalog and say, oh, okay, I like that book. Oh, I like that one. Okay, I'll order X amount of copies of that. And then they send those orders to Comics Monkey. Kablam prints the books. They ship it to the comic book stores. It gets in people's hands. People are happy. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Okay, sorry.
And then the letters from DC start coming in with cease and desist on killing Batman and Robin in the first issue.
You're going to get sued.
All right. It was scary.
Sparrow Man and Tweeter.
Tweeter. But then Twitter's going to sue you.
Well, it's such a...
I was trying to think of a bird name, but it's...
Because, I mean, I was writing today about... We're introducing a character now that is basically my reaction to the whole 1970s thing of where you had strong African-American characters written by short Jewish white men in the 70s. So you had all the sweet Christmas, you know, You know, and so we're trying to riff on that right now. And as I was writing it, I was telling Steve, I was like, I don't want letters from the NAACP on this, you know, or okay. I don't want to have to go on Al Sharpton's show and appear, you know, and have to do a Don Imus or anything. So
But that'd be more publicity.
That's right.
That's true. But Al, if you can work the line, happy, like Holy Hanukkah in at least once that a Jewish man says instead of Sweet Christmas, I'll love you.
I think we have a Jewish hero planned at some point. We've also got a Southern super team planned.
Sweet.
And they get blown up real quick. Everybody dies.
All right. So I'm going to ask the hypothetical to you, Al. All right. And,
okay.
Let's say everything goes great with the next issue. All right. And it goes so great that you think you have the numbers for Diamond. Okay. So then you're left with the option of, do I continue the distribution model that I've been using? Do I go with the, and let's say you do indeed go with the Kablams of the world and stuff like that. Do I stick with them, or do I try my luck in Diamond? Knowing farewell that if you don't meet the order minimum and all that jazz in Diamond, then there goes your chances in Diamond. Do you even bother taking that step anymore, or do you just stick with the alternatives?
I would be the type of prick that would make Diamond come to me. To be honest, I would keep, if the model is working for me enough that I'm happy with it, then I really don't care to have to put my stuff in Diamond. And eventually, if I got to the point where I was huge enough, and it's like, well, because Comics Monkey is getting my book in there anyway. So if I you know, do I need you guys even? You know, and of course, I'm always waiting for the big day when DC comes and says, hey, we're reviving the Omega Men. We need a writer. Go. Which will probably never happen.
Well, you have the name for the comic business, all right?
Yeah.
You've got a name like Matt Fraction, you know, something that jumps out there, Al Sparrow, you know?
Yeah.
So you've at least got that going for you. I say, and this is my answer for this question, I say Diamond's done when it comes to indies. I think they might very well still remain to be the place where you find the DCs and Marvels of the world, but I think they're basically writing indies out entirely. Not saying that indies do not still have a home out there, as we brought up in this, but Diamond, the days of Diamond just being the only place to turn are done. They're totally over. And Diamond realizes this as well as anybody. They're not going to be a wizard and think, hey, we can hold on with our previous format. Bullshit. They're going to go out there and they're going to lower themselves where they're still making money off of their listings. And if they still do DC and Marvel, DC and Marvel, their biggest, and they throw in an Image or a Dark Horse or one of the other big publishers, maybe like a Viz or something like that, then they're going to be okay. And they'll leave the indies to everybody else. And I think the indie world is going to survive without Diamond. I think the indie world is going to thrive without Diamond. It's going to take a little while. There might be a little bit of a learning curve. But comic shops, whatever comic shops are left, are going to catch on. And eventually, things are going to be as hot as they were when Diamond was as hot as it was. That's where I think things are going. I mean, it might be the optimist in me, but I'm pretty certain Diamond's just going to say, we're done with indies unless you're this and this tall. Like, you have to be this tall to ride a roller coaster. It's going to be that one with indies. And indies are going to be everywhere else.
Now, you do know they do have some indies on exclusive.
Oh, I know that. Okay. But I also know it's very easy for Diamond to say, you see this contract, and then rip it up.
Gotcha.
Because, I mean, if it's not profitable for Diamond anymore, I mean, they might have an exclusive contract with an indie. What happens if that indie drops underneath their limits? What happens then? And I believe that's happened already once or twice. And Diamond said, we'll give you the leniency of a month, but if it's still not good after that, then I'm sorry, we're going to have to drop you. So that's kind of where they're going. I think the days of the quote-unquote Diamond exclusive for indies are way over. That's where I am.
Okay, so my cuss words that I said that I wish I would have said, not that I said them to Diamond specifically.
Oh, yes.
That's what I was thinking. So are you saying that those words can apply then?
Oh, yes, they most certainly can. And just so you know, I'm totally going to add in bleeps to your fuck it all just for comic effect.
No, it was fuck y'all bitches. That's what it was.
That's better.
Remember that.
And I fully expect to see on the, you know, on the next volume that you come out with, it's just going to say, "Fuck y'all bitches, Sean Pryor,
no, man,
buy
see,
this book."
No, my comics are kid-friendly. See, that's what's hilarious. I'm cussing my ass off on this show, and I write kid-friendly comic books. I write books for all ages. This man just cusses left and right. How the hell can he promote a book if he keeps cussing it?
I think it's me. Honestly, I think I bring out the worst in you.
Probably so. Probably so, yeah. Yeah, probably so.
Fucking A.
That'll be great if you ever get, like, interviewed for, like, you know, the local PM magazine or whatever, or the morning show. This is Sean Pryor, and he writes comic books for kids. What do you think about that?
Fuck that.
Every other word is beat.
It's the greatest fucking book on the stands.
Yeah.
Go buy my shit.
And then we're out of business.
Yeah. And of course, totally not up to professional standards. Diamond distribution.
Well, that's why I hope to God I never get good enough that I would win an Eisner, because I'd get up there and cuss every other word would be beep.
I'd like to thank all y'all bitches for voting for me.
The following people can kiss my talented, fat, white fucking ass.
And have an A to Z list in alphabetical order.
Exactly. Pull out a big scroll.
Yes. All right. I think I know the answer to this question before I even ask it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are there
42.
Thank you. Are there certain publishers you will choose over others in the catalog, or period? You know, you don't even have to factor catalogs into this. Just, are there certain publishers you'll choose over others that you might not be so familiar with when choosing a new book to read? Because this is totally factoring in what I talked about before, where certain unproven comics, you read one issue and you never see the second. So are there certain publishers you will choose when looking for a new book specifically over an unproven publisher? And Mr. Cassina?
New publishers, no.
No? Okay. All right. So this is factoring in the Image and the Dark Horse of the world also, by the way.
Maybe.
Okay. Well,
it doesn't matter. My opinion does not matter.
Yes, it does, you fucker. Talk.
One book a month. One book a month. Who
yes,
fucking
and,
gives
and
a
when
shit?
You get that one book of the month, all right? Because I know...
It comes from you half the time. There you go.
Past couple months has been from you, dude. All
right. Well, they haven't been from, like, real indie publishers.
They've been from Boom Studios.
Oh. Well, they're at the top of the previews file that Sam and Bob sent us. That's why we never make it down to the bottom.
I do believe you just answered the question. Well, if they're at the top, I'll choose them.
Because it's huge.
Well, thank you, Brent. You just gave us a very good answer to this. You're not willing to read the entire damn thing. Not that many people are, all right? So your laziness is what many comic book fans feel. Congratulations, you just gave a very distinct and profound answer to a question without even wanting to.
Okay.
Okay. Al.
I don't really consider mid-level or mid-tier publishers like Dynamite or Image or Dark Horse. I don't really consider them indie.
Okay.
I mean, you can make the case that because they're not big two, they're not indie. But to me, an indie is small press. To me, that's – and I don't consider any of those guys small press. But like Dable Brothers, which used to be part of Marvel, I always try and look at. Blue Water, just because they, you know, have – they used to be part of Alias, and a lot of their titles when they left Alias went over there. And I tend to follow those guys a lot. I also look for Ape Entertainment has had some really good series of late. Femme Noir, Scarlet Veronica was good. And they just recently did Subculture, which is Kevin Freeman on the forum, his comic that he does with a talented artist named Stan Yan. It was really, really good. And I
highly recommend it. It's a brilliant book.
And a very fun name to say.
Yeah.
Very fun name to say. Stan Yan.
Well, there used to be a cook guy named Yan, and you could get
Yan Ken Cook.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You could get his crazy fan. And then I don't know if you even want to consider manga or not. Some people won't, but you know, Viz, Tokyo Pop, which I always call Tokyo Pap because half their stuff is pap. Dr. Master is another really good manga publisher.
I'm sorry, Al, not to cut you off here, but did you read Akihabara Deep?
Uh-uh.
Damn it. Son of a bitch. I was totally hoping you would say you loved it and that Brent sucks. Damn it.
The only book that I can totally recommend right now is Black Lagoon from Viz. And if you're not reading this, pick it up, even if you hate manga, because it's every bad action movie ever made rolled up into one. You've got this girl who runs around in Daisy Dukes with two guns, handguns in each one. She blows up like five U-boats with two handguns, jumping from boat to boat to boat. And you're just watching. I mean, my two favorite movies as far as bad action movies are Hard Target with the aforementioned Jean-Claude Van Damme, because it has a picture. It has Wilford Brimley running out of a flaming forest with a crossbow on horseback.
Hell yeah.
That's the scene that just lives in my memory forever. Another one is Black Dog, which has Randy Travis, Patrick Swayze, and Meatloaf driving 18-wheelers down the frickin' freeway trying to kill each other. I love bad action movies. I absolutely love them.
And remember, Meatloaf will do anything for love, but he will not do that.
That.
Well, obviously he did.
Black Lagoon is every bad
Black
action
Dog.
Movie I've ever loved. Yeah, well, that's true. He would do Black Dog, which is hard to imagine. But Randy Travis? Randy Travis is in that movie. What the hell?
What the fuck is he doing there?
But I love bad action movies. They're my favorite thing to I seek them out. My Netflix thing is full of just the worse it is, the better. And this book just totally rocks in that respect. And so that's all I'm saying. As far as indie publishers go, I always include manga in there, even though Viz is probably just about as powerful as Dark Horse or any of the other mid-tier publishers that are out there.
Sweet. I would definitely bring manga into that, by the way, because, you know, I am one of those manga readers out there. You hear that, people? I like manga. And I'm not afraid to say it, even if Brent doesn't like it. All right, so let's ask Eric this question here. Same question. Is there anything you choose over other indies?
I'll try to talk very, very slowly to give you... Now, no, actually, I don't...
like comics.
Yeah, comics are good, except for the ones that are bad. No, I really don't have a preference. If I want a new title, I'd almost always go to the backer previews and go into the indie, whether it be the bigger indies, the non-indie indies, like the Images or Dark Horses, or just any of them. I'll look anywhere for a new title, basically. I'm a pretty thorough scourer of the entire comic section or previews. I've actually pretty consistently gotten previews, and I found a lot of good stuff like that, and I've found a lot of utter crap that I've bought. But that's the chance you gotta take when you're picking comics, or at least when you're pre-ordering comics. Now, because of course, like we've said, with the local comic shops, in a lot of cases, not getting a lot of the indies, a lot of times you just have to go, if you're interested in the indies, you just have to kind of go sight unseen if you don't know people from the, from forums or have word of mouth. So, I'll delve into wherever.
Cool. I'll throw in my two cents real quick. For me, you know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I'll go through the whole... As far as the comics publishers, I'll go through all the publishers, and if I see something I like, I'll get it. However, if a publisher does put, you know, have a book solicited and I order it and it never, ever comes out, and I've had that situation happen two or three times, when it gets resolicited, no, they don't get my money. They don't get my they won't get my money again, and I will, you know, I'll make sure not to get that book. But besides that, no, I'll. You know, check out, you know, the whole A through Z, whether it be American Mule Entertainment all the way to Zenoscope. So, no, it doesn't matter. Just as long as if I order the book, the only thing is just make sure I get it. That's all I want. That's all I want.
So as long as you get it, you're happy.
Yeah, as long as I get it, I'm happy. Now, if I, you know, and then I read it, and if it's good, cool, I'll get some more. If it sucks, I won't buy any more of those books. Yeah, as long as I get it, because my whole thing is that if you made it to the Diamond Catalog, that means either A, the book's finished, it's almost finished, or it should be on time, unless, you know, for some reason Diamond can't ship it, and you've all heard horror stories about Diamond not shipping books when they're supposed to, but that's another story for another time. No, as long as it gets to me, that's what's most important. So to me, it does not matter who the publisher is. It does not matter. Not at all.
Well, that's excellent.
Okay, so this one's nice and simple. although I'm sure that everybody's going to have very, very distinct and long answers, because that's how we answer everything on this show, isn't it? What is your spending limit on an indie title? Now, take into mind, this could be for anything, trades, singles, whatever. Basically, what I'm asking is, are you going to pay a large amount of money for a book that's only 24 pages? You know, what is your spending limit on an indie title? You can give a separate answer for single issue or trade if you'd like. Sean Pryor, we will begin with you.
All right, cool. On a single issue, like, you know, normally if they're like between 50 to 75 cents more than your standard. Now, granted, you know, indie prices are, you know, have pretty much been the prices that Marvel and DC Comics are now pushing towards. Not all, but some. Yeah. Some. Not all indies are like that. But if indie comics like 50 cents, 60 cents, 70 cents more, I'm cool with that. If a trade's a dollar more, I'm cool with that. I understand why, because, you know, they may not be publishing or, you know, or having printed as many copies as Marvel and DC do. So that's fine. I'm cool with that. You know, now if the price is like double, we got a problem.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, you know, we got a problem. But luckily enough, with websites like heroescorner.com, you know, you get a price adjustment. There's a price break. So that definitely helps on purchasing on indies. But no, that's where I stick.
Okay. Now, would you pay more for color over black and white?
You know what? No. We'll see. Well, no. That doesn't really bother me because I read a lot of black and white books. And seeing that our company makes a lot of black and white, you know, makes black and white books, that doesn't to me, that's not even a factor. It's not even a factor because, yeah, it's just not a factor for me.
All right. Well, and I like the fact that you guys are equal opportunity. You make black and white books.
Yes, yes. We are like Michael Jackson, but we don't touch the kids.
Ebony and Ivory.
Oh, sorry.
Dosey, I love that song.
That's a great song.
Is that the type of stuff we can expect on the PKD soundtrack?
No. You get some hardcore industrial television theme song beats.
Yeah.
No, there's no time for R&B love.
There's no thrash solos.
No. You might get some hard guitar riffs on a couple of tracks.
Some bass jams.
Oh no, you might get. You know, you're gonna get some bass cuts too. No,
some drum fills.
And some drum fills. You're damn straight.
What about some synth rhythms?
Oh, you get some synth rhythms. You get some strings.
I gotta change my order now. that may be worth the $10.
You know, you get the whole kit and caboodle.
Even if it's not diamond standards, that sounds good.
Yep, keep holding that over my head. No,
you put the words in my mouth, my friend.
Well, I know.
You know how Fantastic Four says the greatest comic book magazine on the top? The next PKD Media is just going to say not up to diamond standards.
Not up to diamond standards.
Greatest right. Synthrisms on the rack. There you go.
The next issue of Thugs is going to say you're going to get sued.
Okay, that guy reminds me a little bit of this guy that I met at MegaCon who was wearing a Spider-Man shirt. Okay? Brett knows who I'm talking about. He was wearing a Spider-Man shirt, and he turns to me. I'm not wearing anything. I'm just wearing my regular outfit, all right? And he turns to me, and he goes, "So who are you dressed as?" I responded with Ian, and he said, "I'm dressed as Spider-Man." And Wayne Cordova's response is, "Why would Spider-Man wear a Spider-Man shirt?" I mean, this guy was such a social retard, it was ridiculous. he asked me who I'm dressed as. I'm wearing a t-shirt that says, "We are not all jerks," and that's it, you know? Ugh, it was sad. It made me cry. I feel better now, though.
Feel good.
Yeah. All right, let's move it on to Morant. Would you pay more for color over black and white? And what's your spending limit?
Spending limit, $4.
Okay.
For 22 pages. See, but if it's 32 or 40 pages, I'll understand, you know, an extra dollar or whatever.
Like what we're doing for G-Man, if it ever comes out.
Yeah, if it ever comes out. Ever. Sorry, I was thinking of the synth rhythms in my head.
Well, that, now,
I cannot say rhythm properly rhythms. After
the rhythms.
Synth rhythms.
Rhythms in his house.
It's the third.
Well, I totally remember what I was going to say, too. I have to totally separate the song Dirty Diana from Michael Jackson because it's a good song, but he's totally not singing about Dirty Diana now that we know more about Michael Jackson. Okay, continue, Brent.
I'm sorry. I just have to add in what my roommate just said. He was telling me something. He said, the peanuts from the peanut gallery, you can have the whole damn bucket. That's the first I ever heard of it. First I ever heard that phrase.
Well done.
Which happens a lot when you live from somebody from Pennsylvania and you're in Florida. You know, like like water or family. Not family.
Family. Yeah. You mentioned the other thing about the spending limit. So yeah, color or black and white.
Color. You know, it really just depends on the person, their personality, and nothing to do with how much of a tan they got, whether it be natural or spray.
I'm talking about comics here, bitch.
But willing to pay more. I think it just depends on if the girl grabs me and what state I'm in.
I think you're in Florida, so.
Well, at the time, when
I'm okay. So apply what you just said to the medium of comic books.
That wouldn't apply because what I was talking about takes more than 10 minutes to read on the shitter.
You're just not going to give me any straight answers tonight, are you?
No.
Only gay ones.
At least
ones.
He's honest about it. At least he's honest. You got to give him credit for that.
No straight answers, only gay ones. That's exactly what I would expect from Brent. All right.
I would say that if it's going to be color, it better well have a lot of color. If it's going to be black and white, it better be black, white, and gray. Because that Doctor Who comic we got was in quote-unquote color, and it was like somebody taking all the red and the yellows out of it, and it was like blue and white and black. I was really disappointed. And that was a $3.99 book.
Yeah. It was more like sepia tone.
Yeah. So I guess, if it's $3.99 in black and white, I might – well, I don't know. If you say it's color, better damn we'll have color, not like an ink wash of blue.
Okay. Thank you for giving me a straight answer.
Happy now?
Yes. I feel so much better now. Eric, please give me an answer that is better than Brent's.
I will try, but how do you rate better? I mean, now? Now, I black and white versus color doesn't matter to me at all. As far as how much would I be willing to spend, I guess it depends on how much I want the book. I hate spending, $5.99 for 20 pages, and I probably would not. If a price is – the minute it creeps over $4 or $5 on a single issue, something that doesn't purport to be a standalone original graphic novel or something, I'll definitely look at a page count to see if I'm getting some sort of value for it. Especially with the online discounts, and that's where I do the majority of my comic ordering, I'm – not all that swayed by price unless it's just something ridiculously out of whack with everything else.
So, but what you're saying, though, and again, you did sort of say this, so you're not that willing to pay $5.99 for 22 pages.
Oh, no. I mean, it would have to be something I was really, really interested in, either a creator that I know well and already know that I like their work. But if you're just looking at something brand new that's an unknown commodity, yeah, I would be hesitant about paying more than, $4.50 for.
Well, what about $4.50 for 22 pages plus 10 pages of, and I quote, additional content?
Now that additional could
be,
content.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that could be a sub-story or that could be just profiles like what Marvel likes to pull.
Yeah. No, I'm not swayed easily by additional content.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, that doesn't impress me that much. I like the story. I mean, I buy comics for story. I don't buy it for, whatever, preview pages or even letters pages, anything like that. So, yeah, I like the real content, the real meat of the story.
Gotcha. Okay, and over to Al.
I have a $50 a month limit on comic books and entertainment type stuff in general. For an indie title to get into the buy thing, it's obviously the more expensive they are, the fewer of them I can buy. But that doesn't mean that, you know, if a book to me is my definition of quality, that I wouldn't spend $4 or $5 on it if I feel like I'm getting $4 or $5 worth of a good book. As far as color versus black and white, I think if nothing else, Strangers in Paradise and Queen and Country have both proven that, you know, color's overrated. You can tell a great story using just black and white and you know, I can get so emotionally into those books, you know, particularly Queen and Country, which I haven't read all of, but my God, I'm loving that series now, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to get into it. But, you know, I'm kind of like with what Brent's saying, if you're going to give me color, give me color. Give me cross-gen levels of color. Give me, you know, something that's really going to show that it's worth the time to put the color in there. Give me Maury Hollowell on colors or something. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the whole, yeah, it's in color, but really it's just sepia tone, or, you know, we just threw in some red in the background to make it kind of look that way. Unless you're doing Sin City like Frank Miller with That Yellow Bastard, you know, that's obviously done for an effect.
Okay.
But for the most part, no. I mean, it's really up to the artist as to whether it's going to be color or black and white. I mean, a good artist can succeed with either.
Can there just be an edict that Maury Hollowell just do the color on every book I read every month?
I don't think he'd argue with you.
Okay. That's fine. All right. It has been said. Let it be known. All right. And my answer for this is pretty straightforward. $4.99 is my limit for 22 pages. And that's only for indies. If DC and Marvel ever try to charge me $5 for 22 pages, I'm going to find where Joe Quesada lives. And Dan DiDio, for that matter. And just say, no. I'm going to throw it at them and just say, no. And that's that. I'll probably take a stolen copy of the comic, too, because I'm not going to pay money for it.
That was
going to
be my next question.
And as for color over black and white, if given an option, if a book comes out in both editions, if one comes, you know, say, for example, something like what Dave Wachter did for Scar Tissue, where you had the option between color or black and white. I chose color on all those. Because I knew that it was going to add a little bit more to the book. Even though Dave's art is fantastic, I know that the color was really good. And I chose that. And that was an additional, I forget if that was an additional 50 cents or an additional dollar. But I will pay a little bit more for color. Especially if there's an option. Because I'm just a color guy. I mean, sure, there is plenty of manga that I read where, you know, it's all black and white. And I'm okay with that. But manga is a medium that's meant for black and white, as in they start out black and white and they know they're going to wind up black and white. A lot of the times, and, you know, call me out if I'm wrong on this, but a lot of the times people draw expecting there to be color and then realize just how much more color is going to cost and don't wind up using color. And that happens within these at times. You could tell, you know, when art is meant for color and there's just no color added.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when art suffers. So that's straight up what I'm saying. And I'm sure you guys have run into that a couple times when you're reading a book.
Oh, yeah.
Where like, you know, oh, my God, this is the sketchiest thing you've ever seen, and you know for certain it was supposed to be fixed by a colorist that did not exist. So, there you go. Yeah, right.
If it's sketchy, you could just ink it.
Yes, but what if the inker sucks?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even the inks can show. There's inking for coloring, and there's inking for black and white. Right. If you have a real uniform line, you can almost tell that the inker was thinking, oh, yeah, this is all going to be done over by the colorist.
Yeah. Plus, there's also times where you see colored work that was probably not meant to be colored. You know, like inks that are very, very, you know, distinct, mm-hmm. or that are ruined by colors. So sometimes you get the worst of both worlds, which is weird to say in a sentence. All right, let's move on to there. Let's move on to actually, for that matter, who here actually still goes to a local comic shop? Anybody?
Show of hands.
Anybody? Anybody at all?
I stop by mine occasionally, but certainly not on a weekly basis anymore.
Okay. Well, this doesn't really need a weekly basis answer, because I'm just curious, and I basically threw this out there only to see, you know, what people's answers were going to be. How broad of a range of indie comics does your shop have? I mean, we know Sean's answer already, but what about you, Al?
We have a few stores here in the Valley. I'm from Arizona, if anybody's wondering.
You can never go back to Arizona. Frisky Dingo reference. Please continue.
You can never get out of Arizona, actually. I found out I moved here like 10 years back just to go to school, and I haven't been able to leave. Now that I'm married, I'm definitely stuck here. But There are a couple stores here that really do. We're fortunate. We do have a lot of comic book stores that cater to different tastes. There's one that is almost all indie. It will totally take almost any indie book that you're willing to put out there. We also have one that has four stores throughout the valley, and they are not quite so ready to take on the indies if they're not a named indie or one that's in the previews catalog or something like that. The main thing that I found out when trying to ship Thugs to stores, like I mentioned earlier, was how scared a lot of stores actually were when you brought it in. Steve tried to farm the book to the big store, which most people who live here can figure out who it is. But, trying to farm it to them, they were less than interested. We didn't have a little barcode for one thing, and they really, couldn't give us the time of day. Another store that I still go to and I do enjoy going to because it's right near my work, he was willing to take some books. I wasn't willing to pay me for them, and he was, kind of disappointed that we weren't in previews because he doesn't really like dealing with that. And another store was just kind of nervous about taking it on, but they were willing to once I pitched it to them for a while. And, it's just such a contrast to the online community where it's like, yeah, we'll take 20. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Al, hold on. Let me ask this to you then. What store actually uses the barcode?
What, the actual name of it, or?
No. I'm saying, do they actually swipe comics?
They actually swipe the comic. We have a pretty high tech. We have a pretty high tech store down here.
Holy crap, dude! I've been to every comic shop in New York City, and I have never seen anybody swipe the barcode.
We have a barcode scanner at our comic shops.
Wow. Damn.
There's a reason it's there.
Yeah. Huh. I've never seen
Raph Store doesn't use that?
No. No, Midtown Comics is not barcode, no.
Yeah, that surprises
me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, in 98 at the store that I was at, we were already starting to use back then, so.
Shit. Damn.
And I mean, from a business standpoint, I could certainly understand, we don't want to deal with it if you don't have a barcode, but there are ways around that. You can get a generic barcode and slap it on there if you really wanted to push the book. They really just were not interested, I don't think, in carrying a true, and I'm not trying to inflate myself, a true indie book where it's two guys working out of their homes trying to put something together on a budget. Mm-hmm. And then that's basically it. I think a lot of local comic shops are just running scared when you bring the idea of an indie up there, because Every store that I've been to has a small indie section, but that's just it. It's a small indie section. Mm-hmm. There really isn't a big one except for that one that I mentioned. And the tragedy is they're way on the other end of town, so I never get to get over there. The first time I talked to them was when I was at the Phoenix Cactus Con, and they had a booth there. And they're like, well, why don't you come over? And I'm like, you're all the way on the other end of town. Phoenix is a big city.
Yeah. Well, I'll say that about the reason that I was mostly Marvel and DC when I was a kid, and even up until I finished college, was because both stores I went to in Brooklyn, both stores that I regularly frequented, were a Marvel and DC store. I mean, they had, the occasional Image and Dark Horse and whatever, but the point remains, they didn't have that many indies. And I ran into this problem where I wanted to pick up Fallen Angel, Peter David's Fallen Angel, and I could not get it from Bulletproof Comics in Brooklyn because they just never got it in. Or if they did get it in, they got in there like one copy, and that went to somebody who actually had a pull list. I mean, I tried to do a pull list with them. It didn't really work out too well. Whatever. I went online, and I wound up getting all my Fallen Angels from an online distributor instead, and that's just the way it went. But for years, I didn't read indies, mostly because the comic stores I went to in Brooklyn were not indie stores. And now that I go to stores in Manhattan where they actually, do more indies, and now that I do my stuff online, Heroes Corner and all that jazz, I can actually get books that I want. And it makes me a happy camper, because I know, hey, Marvel and DC ain't all that, There's plenty of other stuff out there. It just took me until now to really find out. I'm happier this way. My medium has gotten bigger. I will stop talking now.
Well, that actually makes me think of a question I'd like to throw out to the group. I mean, how willing are you to actually take a gamble on sight unseen on indie titles that, say you're not familiar with the creative team? It's not somebody you normally would have followed. I mean, what is, do you think, your level of willingness to actually go, 2 months down the road, this may or may not come out. I have to pay for it in advance, and it looks kind of interesting. But I mean, I'm pretty willing to, but still, you know, there's some things that I'm just like, eh, well, you know, maybe. But you know, it's not going to show up on the, you know, on the shelves of your local comic shop. Or at least there's probably a good chance it won't.
Right.
No, so if you don't, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, no. I was just saying. So if you don't order it in advance, then you know you may never see it again.
No, and I'll order the book in advance. I don't have any issues with that at all. Just like as I said before, as long as it comes out on time. What kind of cracks me up, like with Al's situation when he was dealing with like a lot of his local comic book stores, he's got a finished copy of the book in his hand. Unlike, you know, a majority of the books that are in Diamond that aren't even finished yet, that may not even ship on time or ship at all, Al has finished product. He has finished product, and they don't even want to look at it. They don't even want to look through it. You know,
well, and one store did, and that's actually what sold them on it. So I can't gripe too loudly, but one store was kind of antsy, and I'm like, look, I've got the book here, and they were like, oh, well, let me see it, and they're like, yeah, this really isn't bad, and I'm like, yeah, it's a local talent, and he does a really good job, and you know, and the writing doesn't suck either, so you know, you should think about it.
Oh, yeah. And see, and that's all it takes is for somebody to at least look at the book. That other store that you're referring to that said that they wouldn't even look at, you know, they were frustrated because you didn't have a barcode. And I think I know what store you're talking about, and I won't say their name, but, you know, it's nerve wracking. You would think, you know, local stores would help support local talent. Once again, I know it's a business. You're there to run a business to make money, but you never know what could happen. You never know what could actually happen if you support a local creator. Now, granted, for instance, if that book was like on Marvel or DC or somebody in previews, you know, hey, they may have jumped your junk. I don't know, but the fact that you went out and like tried to extend an olive branch and they, you know, were kind of dickish about it, that's enough to irritate. That just irritates the piss out of me.
You're far from the only one. I mean, but just straight up. It doesn't matter if you have the finished product in your hand. If they've never heard of you, they never heard of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh yeah.
And that's the way that a lot of people do their business. And you know, it's a safe way of doing the business. But then again, how the hell do you discover new content if you don't take a risk? I mean, it's a double edged sword. You know.
Oh yeah. And once again, that's where the internet comes in.
Yeah.
So that's just where the internet comes in. And hey, you know, what can you do? Oh, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, and that's been an approach I take, too, is a lot of times it's like, well, you're scared to take the book. That's fine. Will you at least look at the website and let me email you later?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see what your thoughts are on it. Maybe you don't like what we're doing now. Maybe you can suggest some ways we can improve.
Yeah. I mean, what's good about the situation that I'm in is that I know for certain that when I go to the comic shop on a Wednesday, even though I only pick up about one or two books in the shop these days, now that I've gone almost entirely, you know, online, I know that a best example I can put out there is Bang Tango, because we reviewed it on the show, but I didn't know if I was going to like it. So I didn't order number two, but I knew damn well that if I walked into the comic shop that next week when it was supposed to be coming out, I'd be able to pick up issue two. And I was able to. You know, and that's a great thing to have, but a lot of people don't have that. If Bang Tango had been an indie book, you know, if it had been something that was a little lower down, chances are Midtown probably would have still had like two or three copies, and it might have gotten lucky. But I can pretty much say they get in at least one or two copies of even the smaller stuff, which is great. But still, not everybody has that luxury. So your best bet is to just get your shit online or put that pull list into place, or you're going to be screwed.
Yeah. And
that's where I am right now. I mean, you know, I don't want to turn this into an online versus LCS debate like we've had on the show before, but it's really difficult to get your book onto a physical shelf these days. It really is.
Well, and to answer Eric's question, that I think it was Eric that posted it earlier, and to tie that into that, I mean, yeah, I'm more than willing to look at an indie book sight unseen, you know, based on just a blurb that I'll read in previews. I picked up on C.E. Murphy's Take a Chance from Dable Brothers, which I'm enjoying right now. You have such a tool with the online community, like even on the forums. You know, I can't sing the praises of Contract enough. If you have not read Contract from a first salvo, mm-hmm. you're missing out on probably the best comic that came out in the past year or so. present company excluded. I'm serious. It's an independent comic. It's full, beautiful color. Absolutely gorgeous.
Contract's off the hook. I love that book.
Incredible. And the thing is, you know, the guy, I guess, I don't know how his business end of it is, but my God, I found out about it basically because he hopped on the forums and said, hey, check out a couple pages from my book. That's all I had to see. And I'm at DCBS. Get this on my order now. You know, I need this book because, yeah, this is going to click with me. This is going to be something I like, you know, and you can almost call it sight unseen because really it was only a couple pages. The rest of the book could have been horrible, but it wasn't.
Well, luckily we don't often get that where only a few pages are good and the rest aren't. Most of the times you get lucky enough to get something good going there, but I would say I'm a lot more likely to do it these days than I used to be, sight unseen, because again, it's only like $1.30 or whatever out of my pocket if I do it online, so I'm fine. But still, though, I like to know the creators at least. You know, like if it's like a Joe Casey or if it's like a Chuck Dixon or something like that, someone that I'm at least mostly familiar with, that I know for certain that I'm going to get good stuff out of it, then I'm more than likely going to pick it up. But if it's Joe Schmo Mabo from Cleveland, you know, and all I see in the blurb is that it's you know, pirates from Mars attacking New York, it might sound awesome, but I go pick it up and it's messed up, you know. So if I have enough room in my budget that month to do it, I'll probably give it a shot. But if not, then no. And that's the there's one more question I'm going to ask, and I'll ask it first to Sean because I know he's got to head out of here soon. Would you cut a DC or a Marvel title to support an independent creator?
Yep, no question, no question. No question. I do that in a heartbeat. Do that in a heartbeat, especially, you know, if the book's good and it, you know, needs additional support. Oh yeah, there's no question whatsoever. A lot of the I'm actually down to 4 Marvel titles, if that, right now. So yeah, I have no problems with that at all, none at all.
Excellent, sounds good to me, man. You want to pimp your book a little bit more here, just so people know?
Okay, cool. Well, thank you, appreciate it, bro. Real quick and simple. PKD Media Presents Number 1, 104 pages, black and white, 6 titles, 1 book, The Flagship, Mercury and the Murd, the best damn buddy cop comic for all ages in the United States of America, because I'm not sure about worldwide, because, you know, we've got a couple of fans in the UK. That's about as far as it goes. Big Mercury and the Murd story, and also features 5 other titles, XO1 and the Rock Solid Steelbots, Agents of Colt, Alpha Simeon, the mobile activated terrestrial tracker known as Matt, and Black's Danger.
In space!
And 6 titles, 1 book. Promise you, you're going to get your money's worth. And if you didn't get it the first time, Mercury and the Murd, the collected edition, inexpensive. I think you'll get your money's worth. I promise you. And even though Diamond rejected us and said that we're not up to snuff, trust me, we are up to snuff.
No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Remember, folks, that's a good thing.
You know, we come to play. We come to play, and we come to make good comics, and we want you to have a good time and come on back. That's what we're all about. New website officially, no later than the end of March, April 1st, April 2nd, tops. Almost done with it.
And where do we check out Ian Levinstein, Jewish Lawyer?
Ian Levinstein, Jewish Lawyer, might show up in PKD Media Presents Number 2.
All right.
He might, but I'm not going to call him Ian Levinstein, Jewish Lawyer. I'm trying to avoid lawsuits here, people.
Do I have to read the book before I get in it, too?
If you write me a book report, I'll put you in Number 2. I'm fucking with you, man. I'll
blow you up in Thugs if you want to. You know.
See,
we're not proud.
Over there, no. You know, you're going to start seeing like Easter eggs all over the book. So I'll squeeze you in there somewhere, Brent. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. I'll squeeze you in somewhere.
Perm candy for me.
But what?
I said Purim candy for me. You know, Purim instead of Easter.
Okay, not a problem. not a problem.
All right, yeah. Sean, we'll go get some rest, man. And thanks for sticking with us for more than a half hour.
Oh, hey, not a problem at all. It's nice to actually be a part of the episode, the entire episode almost. So, mm-hmm. Hey, Eric. Eric, yes. It was really good to meet you.
Absolutely.
Via Skype.
Great to meet you, man.
Feel free to drop me a PM on the comic forums anytime, or if you see me on Skype, just holler at me. Al, hey, same thing, man. It was really nice talking to you because I know that you spent some time here in Kentucky as well. So
yeah, Lexington is my hometown. I'm jealous. You guys have Joe Bologna's pizza.
Yes, and it's good.
It's
so,
the best pizza ever. They cannot make good pizza out here in Arizona.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Chief. I feel your pain. I might have to send you one via dry freeze or something. But no, seriously, it's really nice talking to you. And same goes for you, man. You know, feel free to contact me anytime. And Brent, Ian, I will talk with you guys soon. Thank you for all the for everything. I appreciate it.
Pleasure's mine, man. Pleasure's mine.
All right, man. Thanks, hey, and Brent. Oh, you're more than welcome, man. Hey, and I ain't mad at you, man. You go ahead and keep stacking books on top of mine. I still love you either way, dog.
It's going to keep it in mint condition that way.
You're damn straight. our shit's going to be valuable like those, what's that, Comic Express versions of Mouse Guard. One, you know, it's going to be valuable one day. So you all right. You're doing the right thing. I love you, dog.
Damn right. And I'll have to be the judge as to whether or not that pizza is better than New York pizza. But maybe one of these days, if I'm ever out in Tennessee, I'll have to give it a holler.
Oh, yeah. You come through Lexington. Take care of you.
All right, man. All right, take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
All right, later, man.
All right, Sean Pryor, ladies and gentlemen, always a pleasure. So we will move it down to the last people on the call. Hey, Al, are you willing to get rid of a Marvel or DC book to appreciate an independent creator?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, it goes back to my thing. I have a $50 a month budget, and basically, I don't play favorites. I am a DC Nation fanboy, but, you know, to me, all comics are basically competing to be part of that $50 each month.
Okay.
And the best of the indies is still up against Amanda Connor on Power Girl, you know? Sorry, man. If Amanda Connor's name is on it and Palmiotti's writing it, I'm buying it. And so that is what you're up against. But at the same time, you know, There are Marvel comics that can't hold the candle to, you know, the new contract that's coming out or the new Queen and Country that's coming out or anything like that. And so it's an ongoing thing, not necessarily just indies versus the big two.
Well, what's good is that all you need to do is just listen to Raging Bullets and you've read the issue.
Yeah.
And well, you've loved the issue.
God forbid there's a statue or something that's out that month, because that really cuts into it, because I'm a total statue whore right now and action figures and stuff, so.
Oh, yeah.
This economy's killing me. It's like every time Marvel and DC put out like a month where there's no good statues, I'm like, thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you for putting out the MODOK statue I don't want. Thank you. Okay.
Well, I've got HeroClix surrounding me, so I think I'm good on that for now. I don't have the money to spend on statues. Thank you for now.
Although, I'm limiting myself to the good Batman Black and Whites.
Oh, yeah?
That Ed McGuinness one that they came out with this month looks really nice, though.
Sweet.
Those are sweet. Those are some sweet statues. I don't collect them, but I've seen some of my friends with them. Yeah. They are nice.
I've only got three right now, but I like
Jim Lee.
Jim Lee, like Alex Ross, and the Vance Guyver are the ones I got.
They're coming out with a Penguin one that looks really sweet.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's going to be the villains now.
Sweet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, hey, Mr. Would you get rid of a DC or a Marvel to support an indie?
Sure, if I found one I really, really, really liked.
Which still has yet to happen.
Exactly.
Well, hey, you can keep them all in mint condition.
Sweet.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, Ian.
Would you like to answer the question, Eric?
Do I have a choice? No.
No, you don't.
Well, cool. Then, absolutely, yeah. I would kick Marvel or DC to the curb willingly if something came along that I wanted to replace.
Cool.
So, yeah.
I would say if it's really awesome, then yes, it's easy enough for me to just pick up a DC or a Marvel book and trade, because eventually it's going to come out. So, you know, it's going to happen eventually.
There's a good chance it'll be in a dollar bin or a 50-cent bin at some sale or con coming up, too. So.
Yeah. I mean, as Brent mentioned on the MegaCon episode, he might very well just drop everything and just pick it all up at MegaCon.
That's not a bad idea, really.
Because it's possible. It's certainly possible. All right, let's move on to the forum comments. Don't have that many, but we have some good ones. So let's post it on the CGS forums as well as the Comic Timing forums. So we'll go back and forth here. So here's Chris W. with his responses to the questions. A couple of years ago, I was becoming increasingly excited about indie titles, more so than what DC and Marvel were putting out. Lately, though, I've noticed I'm getting far less of them. The main reasons seem to be, number one, less titles being offered. It used to be common for me to find at least a dozen indie titles I might want to check out, and often half of those would find their way to my order. My last few orders, it's typically around two or three, and often those are ones I'm already reading. Okay, point well taken. Two, late shipping. It's always been a problem with indies, but lately I'm seeing a lot of my pre-orders sit for months, often getting canceled. One caveat, though, is that I ordered a lot of titles from ASP, a company that's had major shipping problems, so I may be experiencing this more than others. Three, titles that simply vanish. Sometimes Diamond cancels them, as they recently did with Harker, or the creators or publishers themselves seem to never follow through. This hasn't affected my buying yet. I still order things knowing they may very well be canceled and I'll have to be refunded, but it's not good that I often find myself reading a solicit and wondering whether we'll ever see the story's resolution. I'm no expert on the business, but the way Diamond is going, I think indie publishers are going to have to seek alternatives to get their product out there. And I'm sort of in the same boat as Chris W., as I mentioned before. You know, I'll oftentimes not bother to pick something up if I know for certain that this thing is going to be, you know, sitting there in my queue for forever and ever. I mean, how often a month do you guys run into this problem? Eric?
Probably every couple months there'll be at least one title that I get that just kind of goes into the netherworld. I was looking at my unshipped items list and I'm thinking, wow, I probably have like 20 things from the last year and a half that just have disappeared and they still have my money, damn it. No. So, which is another thing is like if a Marvel or DC book is late after a certain period of time, they have to be, you know, you're under no obligation to buy them, at least from a store point of view, and mm-hmm. you can actually refund money. But I don't know what the current policy is on indies or not. So, but yeah, I mean, they come up but that's the weird thing is I don't always tend to miss them. And maybe it's just because I have such a huge backlog between trades and con acquisitions and whatever. But I never feel like I'm wanting for something to read.
Plenty of stuff in the back issue bin.
Yeah.
Well, and Al, what about you? I mean, how often does it happen with you? I mean, I know that you got a fixed budget there. How often does 50 become 47?
I've got quite a few things that have yet to be shipped. But the problem is a lot of them you can't really put on the artist because some of them are manga titles that are sitting in my DCBSQ right now. And, you know, one of them is arguably one of the best books out there ever called Yotsuba. And it's not really the fault of the people creating the book. It's the people who are bringing the book over. ADV Media basically could, I think, honestly give two shits about putting manga out. And they unfortunately own the license for Yotsuba. And it kills me because Yotsuba could be doing so much better in someone else's hands because they'd actually be putting these books out.
Yeah.
So I've got Yotsuba, which has been sitting in my queue for God knows how long. But I don't want them to drop it because if they ever do actually put the thing out, I want the book. So, you know, I'm patient. It's just like Eric was saying. I've got other books to read, but it can get frustrating, especially when, you know, you've only got so much you can spend on these books for any given time.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, refunds are good. I mean, yeah. At least you have that option.
And they have been good to refund the money when something definitely gets canceled. They're quick to put that credit back on there.
Yeah.
But, it can get crazy because, you know, that $6 I spent on that manga, that's a couple books I could have bought somewhere else. You know, or, you know, put on a different DCBS order and actually gotten the books in.
Right. All right. Well, let's move on to Turtle Boy 8. Brent, you got this one?
Yes, I actually do.
Right on.
I'll answer a few because I don't have Skype. Okay. Get Skype.
It's yes, hard for and me leave to us get a voicemail. Okay, come on.
It's hard to me forget indie at times because I'm a mainstream. No, because unless I see you at a con or hear you on a podcast, I don't know your book. Even titles I love reading sometimes get lost because I'm not sure when the next one comes out. I always thought every creator should have a mailing list for new issues. I like indie floppies just because if I read it and I don't like it, I spend $4. Where's a trade? I read an issue, I don't like it, I've spent $15. Most people would pay more for color, but I'm not opposed to B&W if the art is good and a little cheaper. Though A&W, a little bit tastier. Most of the LCSs I go to don't carry much indies, but one does seem to get at least a few titles from companies I've heard of often, which is good in my opinion. I think it just orders books randomly to see if any of it sells.
Well, I know that when they were talking about the release of Athena Voltaire into comic shops, I remember that there were at least one or two people who posted that their comic shop got in like two copies, you know, just hoping that it would sell because it looked like it was interesting. And I'm sure Steve, you know, danced for joy at that.
That's the one thing I've always wondered about indie publishers, and I really should have asked Sean this while he was here, is, you know, I meant to ask this as Steve when I saw him at a con, is it better for me to buy an indie book from an LCS, or is it better for me to get it online, or is it better for me to buy it directly from him? I mean,
I would think it would be better to buy it actually from pre-order, just to ensure that they get listed the next month. Because I mean, like, sure, the money does go directly into their pocket if they're, you know, if you're getting them at a convention, but they're gonna be able to spread it out to a lot more people all across the country if they're listed in a catalog. So of course, pre-ordering it will allow them to have a farther reach for the comic. So it's like it's, I would probably say either pre-ordered for an LCS in your, you know, in your pull list or online, or just getting it from them in person. Not picking it up on the shelf. It would probably be best, I assume.
Oh, I just got a great idea for you, Al. For people you could kill.
Okay.
Octomom.
Octomom.
You could run with that.
I will give you full credit. I will put a little blurb. Octomom inspired by... at the bottom if we use it. I have to run it by Steve, but I don't think he'd have any problem with that.
Okay.
We'll have to do it quick because the problem with Thugs is, you know, we've done like a year's worth of comics already, so by the time we get to Octomom, it probably won't even be topical anymore. That's the only problem with working so far ahead.
Well, but people have long memories.
That's true. And I can see him not having a problem with it because, after all, I mean, like, think of all the extra boobs he could draw.
That's true.
Boobies.
If she has eight arms or whatever, she might as well have like eight. Yeah. And then there was that James Bond movie. What was that called?
Octopus.
Yeah.
Octopus.
Yeah.
Sean exactly.
Con Connery. So yeah, I would probably say the whole pre-order thing would help them out more, Al. Going back to that.
Cool. Yep. That's always kind of what I wonder. I think a lot of people maybe wonder that too, because so many indie books, you can't get them anywhere but meeting the artist at the con.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Mr. Christopher Niesman from Around Comics and 11 O'Clock Comics and all other things has this to say in response to how difficult is it for you to get into an indie. He says, not hard. Good comics are good comics. That's what I like about him. He's nice and distinct. How regular does one need to come out to make you a return customer? It doesn't matter. Black Hole was 12 issues over 10 years. Still great. Yeah, right, I guess. Do you prefer indie trades to indie singles? Yes. In most cases, I would rather have a trade, but that's for all comics. With the recent surge in distributors, blah, 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 Diamond being a thing of the past, he says Diamond is making it a thing of the past.
That was the best comment I think I got out of the whole thing. Was I like the way he put that.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, they're forcing indies to go elsewhere, so hey. Are there certain publishers you'll choose over others in the catalog when choosing a new book to read? He says, I think that buying books out of a catalog is redunculous. He said, ridiculous, I don't care. That said, there are publishers that I will look at their stuff at my LCS if I see it. So he's against the whole catalog thing. You know, let me poll the crowd. Are catalogs silly?
Nope.
No? Okay.
Nope.
Eric?
I grew up with the Sears catalog, though, and that's probably dating myself. Probably have no idea, but way back in the day, for Christmas, you'd get this thing called the Sears Wish Book.
Wish Book, yeah.
And it had all the Star Wars toys in it that you wanted to get, and so what you did... You showed your mom the ones you wanted, and then she'd get them for you, and Santa'd put them under the tree. So it's not too much different. In fact, I actually enjoy the hell out of flipping through the catalog, and as much as I love previews, I would enjoy flipping through Havens or Comic Monkey just as much. I mean, I have no problem ordering online or through a catalog. About the only thing that I think is off is you don't really get that tactile sensation of flipping through the book and going, yeah, the art in this is really good, you know, you know, I think I'm going to enjoy this. You kind of have to take a real leap of faith when you're buying through a catalog, you know, that you're going to get something that you're going to enjoy. And the real problem is, if it's a new series, you're three issues into the hole before you see the first issue.
Yeah.
So if that first issue sucks, you got two more coming.
Right.
And that can be a real scary thing, especially if you're really of the collector mindset and, you know, you're buying issue four just so you can have all four in the miniseries, even though you hate the series.
Like Amazon's Attack.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
And when you mention the Sears catalog, I just think of the episode of The Simpsons when Mo is attached to the lie detector. He's like, I got to get home. I got a hot date. Okay, fine. I'm going to go home alone and flip through the Victoria's Secret catalog. Sears catalog.
Sears catalog.
The poor man's Playboy.
Yep. Eric, do you agree that catalogs are iffy?
I think they're a necessary evil. I mean, is it the optimum way to buy comics? No, it's not. And when you live in a city like Chris does in Chicago, or like anybody, you know, you in New York, where you might have multiple comic shop options who are, you know, there's a chance you're going to get a pretty good spread of books, then it's great. You know, absolutely go in and buy them off the shelf. But, you know, I kind of live in Podunk to some degree, and you know, and like I said earlier, you know, our the one little local comic shop, if I don't want to travel an hour that we have in town here, they're not going to get any of that stuff. So yeah. I've got to order it through the catalog. I mean, there's no other way, you know. And even if you're looking at it online, you're still looking at the catalog. I mean, all that is previews online, basically. So right. Yeah, is it the best? No, but does it serve a function? Yeah. And do I enjoy looking through them? Yeah, I've always enjoyed looking through previews, because there is that chance you're going to see something that you didn't know existed or had no idea. You'll end up taking a chance on it.
How is life in Podunk?
It's not bad. There's a, it's a, you know,
St. Augustine's not Podunk.
It is sort of Podunk.
Well,
Gainesville's Podunk. What do you want?
I like St. Augustine.
Well, I like it too, but it doesn't
matter.
But
I'm a tourist when I go there. I'm not a local.
I like Brooklyn. Forget about it. All right. What is your spending limit on an indie title? He says, same as any other book. Would you pay more for color over black and white? Doesn't matter. I pay for story and art. Some books work better in BNW or B&B. I like a B&B. If you buy your books at a local comic shop, let us know. Blah, blah, blah. He says Dark Tower carries a wide range of books from various publishers, as we mentioned. It's a great example of a store that helps guide people to titles outside of just Marvel and DC. And finally, would you cut a DC or Marvel to support an indie? He says, I will buy a book if it looks interesting or if it's been recommended to me. I usually don't cut a title in favor for another one. I just buy the books I like. I don't buy them when I've stopped enjoying them. Buying a book or any other product to support somebody is kind of silly. If it's that important to you, get a commission from them. I think the biggest buying advice is buy what you like, regardless of who publishes it. I can't think of any other medium where the publisher or umbrella company matters to people like it does in comics. Movie studios, book publishers, communications companies, TV networks, etc. I don't look at a preview for a movie and say, gee, I might go see that because I like the work that Universal has been doing. And he makes a valid point.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, I might think that a little bit with the comic book movies, but just a little bit. You know, because I know that, you know, Marvel Studios puts out good stuff, so I might say, hey, it's a Marvel Studios movie, even though I don't like this Marvel character, I might give it a shot.
Trauma films.
Why must you hurt me?
It's my lot in life.
Video was always good. I've always felt those were good.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, let's all see the Man Thing movie on DVD.
No,
I've seen the Man Thing movie. It's not that bad.
Really?
It's not that good. But there are worse comic based properties out there.
Okay. I think we can skip this Torch Song guy. I don't like his jib.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah. So that leaves only one other person. Let's head over and, well, Brent, time for Matthew Guy. Here we go. Matthew Guy, Brent Cassina.
I have supported Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane, Volume 2 and Issues by Terry Moore, and have read Echo and Issues and Stranger in Paradise in the pocketbooks. Jeff Lemire's Essex County Trilogy led me to pre-ordering the Nobody hardcover, and I also ordered I Kill Giants by Joe Kelly and J.M. Ken Nimura in trade in this month's previews online. I buy what I want that grabs my interest. It can be color or black and white. That is a big change for me years ago. I buy indies to break the Big Two monopoly of lackluster events and to find something new that comics has to offer me, whether it be via Dark Horse, as in BPRD and Hellboy, Image, Walking Dead, Invincible, and Proof, Top Shelf, anything from writers Alan Moore or Craig Thompson, Oni Press, local hardcover, etc., etc. I've no set limits for indies alone, just the overall comics budget. I will not cut a Superman book or a regular DC book, but Marvel and its $3.99 for 22 standard pages nonsense would be cut in a moment's notice to support an indie at the same higher price if it grabs my interest. My only limitation for my support for an indie comic is reading comics online. I want the entire comic in my hands, not on a computer screen, excluding a sample of 5 to 7 pages previewed online by the publisher of a comic book related website. In closing, I am waiting patiently for the Mouse Guard winter hardcover.
I mean, Matthew makes some valid points, though. You know, that his only limitation for an indie comic is reading comics online. Because I still sort of feel that way, that, like, long-form comics, I mean, I can still read web comics, but long-form comics on an LCD screen, you know, on my laptop or something like that, still don't really work for me. You know, I still need something like a comic reader or something like that to actually do it, and that doesn't exist yet. Eric, how easy do you read comics online?
I've read quite a few, but I'm with you. I enjoy actually holding them in my hands. And I mean, I'm all for like a full color Kindle or something of that sort. When they come out, I'll probably be aboard it pretty quickly. But I will read comics on the computer. And I guess it depends on my level of interest. And if I can take a brief moment to plug the comic, The Uniques.
Oh, really? Yes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact. That would be at theuniquescomic.com that I personally have nothing to do with, though I am afeard that I may actually be appearing as a villain in that, but that's hearsay.
Nice.
But that aside, I mean, there's an example of a comic that, you know, Adam Withers and Comfort Love put out. They sold it around to all the – or not necessarily sold, but I mean they advertised it around to all the message boards, pretty much any forum, any comics-related thing they could find. That's where I first came across it. Saw their listing, went to their site. I was intrigued by the preview art, and I then had the option of, you know, do I order these comics directly from them, or do I, you know, see them at a con? And I sort of wanted to wait and get them signed, but then I realized that, well, they were also offering, if you didn't want to buy the actual physical comic, you could go and buy the downloadable comic in a couple different formats for 99 cents each. And this was even before they were giving away the first issue for free. So I actually was so interested in reading it, but didn't want to go ahead and like pay the shipping and everything. I knew that I would see him at MegaCon eventually, or yeah, one of the other cons that they regularly appear at, that I went ahead and bought the downloads and read them like that. And still, when I eventually did buy the series from them directly, a little double dipping there, I reread them, and it was just a much better experience. You know, like you said, having to scroll or resize. I just don't get into regularly wanting to read the comics on the computer.
It's very hard for me to hold my computer monitor in my hand.
This is true. Well, I mean, I haven't seen your computer monitor, so it might be very small.
It's 17 inches.
Don't brag about it there, you.
Yeah. Thanks.
That would be a little hard to hold in your hand, wouldn't it?
Hey. And one more time, we are sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. The April special this month, you will get the previews that is coming out at the end of the month on April 29th, 2009, for free. That is the regular Diamond Previews and the Marvel Previews catalog, all for free if you spend $25 or more this month over at Heroes Corner. And once again, that comes out on April 29th, 2009, so nice end-of-the-month treat for you if you get your books from Heroes Corner this month. And don't forget the trade special.
as I previously mentioned, buy three trades and you will get 5% off the cumulative cost of those trades. So if you buy three trades and they're all 50% off, you're going to get yourself an additional 5% off. Isn't that spiffy? The fan picks, the comic timing picks of the month this month, Runaways number 11, 50% off on that one, and it is only $1.50. Hellblazer number 256, 75% off, only 75 cents. And Land of the Lost number 1, 50% off, only $1.98. And don't forget the comic timing code of the month is CTROCKS, that's CTROCKS. Get an additional 5% off on your first order with HeroesCorner.com, and that's for first-time users of the site only. Additional 5% off with CTROCKS. Best damn customer service around, as usual. You will find it right here at HeroesCorner.com.
All right, I think we're pretty much done here. So before we wrap things up, any final plugs Mr. Al wants to do for his little comic venture?
www.thugsonline, no spaces, no dashes, just thugsonline.com. You will see the illustrious artwork of Flint Lockjaw and my own writing skill as we skewer everything that's holy and sacred in comics. Basically, as you've heard several times, we basically kill Batman and Robin within the first few pages, and it all goes downhill from there. Basically, it's the story of two henchmen who basically get lucky and off two of the superhero community's major players, and that makes them a target for every superhero out there who is out for vengeance, and it also makes them a target for every supervillain who feels like they've been one-upped by these two dopes. The fun part is, really, all the superheroes are kind of schmucks, and they all have their dark sides, and I did this before Garth Ennis started doing the Boys. Damn it to hell. Damn you, Ennis!
he stole it from you, didn't he?
He stole it from me, and the lawsuit is pending, but the problem is I love the Boys. It's such a damn good book. There's that. We are hoping to have another issue out within the next few months in print format, but by God, read it for free. I don't care how you get it. Just come and get it and tell us what you think. By the end of the year, we're going to hopefully have two or three issues. We're hopefully going to appear at the Phoenix Cactus Con next year with our own booth. And knock wood, you're hearing it here first, I may have my own book.
Wow.
You get the exclusive.
Exclusive.
That's all I'm going to say about it, so that if I don't do it, then, you know, tough. Mm-hmm. I'll be like Liefeld and Youngblood. It's coming out sometime.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, it'll have an Obama cover.
First, I have to learn how to draw, and then we'll worry about, you know. And then Diamond can say that my stuff's not up to snuff, and Sean got it covered.
If you'd like, I can give you, like, a back cover board with, like, this is the worst piece of crap I've ever read. And yet I read it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we're putting up all kinds of bad stuff, like the next issue. Which one thing that we do, which I'll tell everybody, is go to the don't go yet because we haven't put it up, but when we get the proof copy of the book every time, our goal with each copy of Thugs is to make the cover reference an actual famous comic book cover.
Oh, okay.
And so we just do little contests for the online community where if you can guess what the comic cover is aping, we give you the proof copy after we've like gone through and torn it to bits and fixed everything. So you have a nice little keepsake. Like, Just Bill won the first one because we copied Batman Adventures Gotham something. And I can't tell you what the next one is, obviously, but It's another good one. And our third one is also going to be really good, too.
Let me guess. It's Youngblood.
No, we will not do anything in it.
Good. All right. Eric, I know you plugged already, but you want to just give your Twitter or something like that?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at whatever Twitter's website is, www.twitter.com/greencapped. You can pretty much find me wherever as greencapped, GreenCapt. And I actually make occasional appearances on the Two True Freaks podcast. Ooh. So you can search for Two True Freaks and be frightened on listening to most of their shows.
Well, they are Two True Freaks, so I would be frightened.
Which I guess when I hear that kind of makes me a half freak, so maybe they'll change it to 2.5 freaks.
Which sounds a little bit like a CBS sitcom.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be the Charlie Sheen character.
Brent, anything upcoming that you would like to plug?
I thought I did, but maybe not anymore.
Why not?
Well, the thing I was thinking of doing was Asriel BK's bullets for Raging Bullets when the whole thing's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I know we're doing it on the show.
Why don't you do a BK's Bullets on the original Asriel and how much you love him and how you say goodnight to him at night?
I could, but that trade is at home.
Oh.
Did you put your poster up?
No, I don't have room in my dorm for the poster. It's not on my ceiling.
Brent, are you getting the new Asriel series? Because I'm picking it up. I'm kind of curious.
Yes, I'm getting it.
In fact, we're going to be doing a review corner on it.
There you go.
The next episode.
Yes. Hopefully, if we get enough of the other stuff out.
Ian, did I even show you the Asriel poster?
Nah, man, you didn't.
Oh, Eric gave me this, like, the Asbats poster. Like, it's a huge, like, life-size Asbats poster from the 90s that he had kept in his secret comic storage.
If anybody would appreciate it, I would have
figured. It's, like, 12 feet tall.
Sweet.
It's awesome.
Well, I still like that Raph gave me a couple of promo posters.
Okay,
for my birthday. 7 feet tall. Okay.
Would you believe 4 feet tall?
Chief?
No, it's, like, 6 feet tall. Maybe not.
He should just give you a shoe phone next time, and that'll just complete the deal. Well, awesomeness, and hey, do a BK's Bullets for, like, the show eventually, dude.
Okay.
You know?
5 feet. Okay, 5 feet.
5 feet.
My roommate is calling me out, but it's huge.
All right, cool.
Size is not important.
And, do or do not. There is no.
And just to let the people know out there in podcasting land, we far from run out of topics. We're going to be rolling back into the topic thread, which we haven't done in a while, to get some of the upcoming episodes and obviously some review corners. And please, if there's anything you would like for us to talk about on the show, do not be afraid to post on the forums about it or shoot a voicemail over at Scary Monkey Show on Skype. I am Sci-Fi on Twitter. Hey. And we can definitely get that going and possibly have you on said episode. So let's get going with the credits. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley, and please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes if you're willing to download it, Eric.
Okay.
Once again, I'm on Twitter at I Am Sci-Fi, and GreenCap is GreenCap. What a shock. And that's pretty much all. League of Comics Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league, and the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Once more, Al, don't be a stranger this time, man, all right? Let's try and make it a little less than, like, 60 episodes in between, man.
That's my app.
Nice, nice. But thanks for coming back, Al. Hope to see you not too much longer. Excellent. And Eric, welcome to Comic Timing. You're never leaving.
Thanks for having me. I hope you'll leave the light on for me.
Thank you. You're Motel 6. And Brent, you never leave anyway. So, as always, there's always time for comics. Al, can you do me a huge favor and just move your mic away a little bit? Because I'm getting, like, major popping when you say your piece. And I think that's making you cut out a little bit.
How is that? Is that any better?
Say it, Pete.
Peter Piper.
Much better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, cool.
Except pear, pickled peppers. Pickled peppers, can beer. Pepper.
With that paste, pot, Pete.
Okay, now we need to rhyme again.
Fuck you all. All right.
We're on the ball.
On the call.
This show's got it all.
This show has
never
stalled.
Had rhyming thing.
Pardon me while I scratch my... Oh, never mind.
Balls to the wall.
Oh, mother of pearl. All right. And Al, you're sort of Darth Vadering on us.
Oh, am I? Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I just wanted you to take a year leader.
Oh, not a problem.
Oh, I thought we were on a sex call all of a sudden.
I was really getting into it, dudes.
Oh.
All this comic talk's got me going. No, it's allergy season down here.
It's perfectly fine. It's allergy season here, too, man. If you hear a click in the background, that's me muting my mic so I can cough, so that's fine. But yeah, Brett, you were saying that it's a moot point. Please just repeat your sentence there.
It's a moot point because I don't get but one a month.
Fuck y'all bitches. But,
you know, that's the whole thing is, where the hell was I going with that? I just wanted to tell somebody I was famous for 15 minutes. Okay.
Nice.
But
wait, what?
I totally fucking knew it. I didn't hear you in the background, so I totally knew you weren't paying attention. I love calling you out on that shit. It sort of fills my heart with this raging joy that...
Sorry.
Are there certain publishers you would choose over others? And we're talking indie publishers here. Okay, not DC or Marvel. Certain indie publishers you would choose over others when choosing a new book to read. Damn it, I am totally going to have to get water. So, this next person know very well that I'm not going to be listening to what you're saying because I'm going to be in the other room grabbing water. But however, I am going to let Eric answer the question here. So, Eric, be distinct, be wonderful, be knowing that I'm not listening.
I get to be the one that covers for you.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
fine.
Exactly.
Be the...
and for that matter...
Break it into small syllables.
Yeah, Brent, you there? Brent. I fucking hate this bitch.
He's just doing it to you on purpose.
Oh. All right. And for that matter, Brent, let me finish this before I'm back. Cover for me, all right?
Okay.
All right, thanks. All right. So, yeah.
Cool. There's going to be some editing in this part right here, so I'm just going to leave this as a marker. So, you know, just for you to help, just to help you out. Sorry.
It's taking him a long time to get a damn glass of water.
I know, right? Jesus Christ.
Dude, I went and took a piss and got some water. I've come back.
Oh, man.
It's like he walked down the hall and had a conversation with somebody, you know, while he was talking or something like that.
You know, I mean, I would understand if you did that, Brent. You're in college, You're in college. I expect you to get up, take a break, mute, not pay attention to Ian, go down the street, get a pizza, and come back. But, you know, Ian, are you putting water in the fucking ice cube tray? Get your ass back in the seat.
I'd say, I think, Brent, you're like second in command on this podcast. You need to pull a Joe Biden to take
over.
But
I don't know anything about this shit, which is what I'm trying to tell him.
So tell us about
it. What happened?
Come on, Riker, you got the bridge, bitch. Come on! We got to go!
I always thought he was an ineffective commander, so I'll just follow his lead.
How the fuck is it that I leave and all of a sudden you're talking about Next Generation?
No, because I was saying, I'm like, how long does it take for him to get a glass of water? Are you putting water in the ice cube tray? What the fuck are you doing?
For your information, I was reminding my girlfriend that I don't eat her.
That's
okay.
What I thought.
Aww.
See, that's
right.
You're a good man.
Willfully
for doing
ignoring us.
Yes. Well, I know.
No, damn it. You're a podcaster. You answer a higher calling than women. You haven't got time for that shit.
And 10 minutes later, you can remind her again.
Yes. And let me remind you that, no, I do need her. She pays most of the rent while I don't have a good job.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
Yes. All right. What I missed, boys?
They finished.
Okay.
Everybody answered the question, yeah.
Okay, good. All right, cool. Well, I agree with everything that was said. Okay. all right, so we answered that. Okay, fine. Well...
What were you saying, Brad? What? Sorry, you probably didn't hear that.
No, we didn't, actually.
No. Well,
but it was amusing nonetheless.
Mike is a lot better than the last. Well, wait, Skype, not Mike.
What were we on?
Oh, color. It's just.
Anyway.
Okay, now Mandy's standing up next to it.
So oh. It's large.
Wait, Mandy's there too?
Yeah, she's here now.
Oh, hi, Mandy.
Well, he said there was something he wanted to plug.
Oh.
Oh.
That's just cruel. And yet somewhat accurate. Okay, so...
I got it from this guy on the podcast that I met at the show. If you were there, you would have been there for that moment. But...
Yeah, I missed you, Mandy.
She didn't appreciate the poster.
Oh, really?
Well,
aw.
We'll have to find one for her next time.
We will.
Well,
fuck y'all bitches. But